Ready, Master Control?
Ready, switch on.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Oh man, I'm feeling good! And by the sound of the music and the sound of the doctor saying,
"Put him in a straitjacket and give him an enema!"
Yeah, by the sounds of the doctor saying that, it must be time for another week of rockin' comedy!
I'm feeling a little, anxious, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I do. I do know what you mean. Ah, yes. Once again, the medication had been administered. The straitjacket is on, and I'm feeling good. Hello!
Hello!
Everybody, and welcome, welcome, welcome once again to that tiny 2-watt radio show that I bring to you each and every week from the padded walls of my electric sandbox right here on the 44th floor. It's a little show I like to call the Rockin' Comedy Show.
Are you on medication or something?
Every week. Don't you think that the last few weeks of shows have just been outstanding?
Yes!
I mean, think about it. Last week, Stone Dead Roses was here to perform for us. The week before that, Brother Luke was here to perform for us. So, I'm thinking to myself, why not keep it going with another great show?
I like the way you think, big guy.
You do? You do? You really do? Well, I'm glad, because we've got a great show for you this week. We are going to be rocking it up here once again on the 44th floor with a brand new band on the show. A band that is called Plan B. Yeah, they're brand new. They're going to be making their debut on the Rockin' Comedy Show, so check it out. because we are going to be rocking. Nice bunch of guys. I got the privilege to hang out with them and stuff. And I heard their music on MySpace. They friend requested me, and I mean, it's awesome. So they're going to be here to play for us. We're going to learn about them, and they've got a new CD coming out, so we're going to be playing some songs from that CD as well.
Oh, I can't believe it. I'm so excited.
Well, hold on, because it's going to get better. It's a big show this week, because we've not only got your request, but we've also got off-the-wall comedy, and helping me with Not in the News News this week, very funny man, Matt Kirshen will be here. Now, you might recognize that name. Matt, of course, was a finalist on the last season of Last Comic Standing. He did play seventh. Very funny guy. He's here in town. He was performing at the Riviera. And I asked him to stop by the studios, and he agreed. So we are going to do Not in the News News together. Very different, because, you know, when I do the news solo, we like to use a lot of sound bites. Well, Matt's new to the show, and he's not quite sure how Not in the News News works, so not going to use any sound bites, but we are going to get some great takes on, I'm sure, what he thinks of our news. So we've got Matt Kirshen here. We've got Plan B that's going to come and perform for us. That is why we call this the Rockin' Comedy Show, and that is why I am your host.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Well, it's not, but it just eases the pain. I am Crazy J. I am your host. Don't forget, you can send me some email.
You got some mail.
My email address is crazyj@comic.com. That's crazyj@comic.com. You can also visit me on MySpace. Yeah, I know. Blah, 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 blah. But you can still find me at MySpace. It is myspace.com/crazyj13. So what do you say? It's another big show. Let's get started, shall we?
Let's rock this joint!
Sometimes I really wanna be alone, but that's one state I'm never in. Because I know that I've got millions upon millions of tiny one-celled organisms living on my skin. I will and scrub until my flesh is raw.
Thank you. turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door, where blues won't haunt you anymore, where the brave are free and lovers soar. Come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
Yeah, life is a highway, right here on the Rockin' Comedy Show. A little Rascal Flatts, keeping it rockin', keeping you laughing. Ahead of that with Weird Al with his song called Germs. But right now, let's keep it rockin' with some Fish Ranch Road.
Bumper kissing bumper on the 101. As the AC fights. Out there, gonna get you some. And with a cell phone in your hand, you go stomping for the man. And then you close the deal, you fold away your little phone. And you think about the family you left at home. Still, you can't help but feel. Tomorrow, would it be alright
tell you, Italian food. I have Italian relatives. They love to feed you. Even these Italian restaurants I go to, they don't have buffets. They bring it right to your table. I had this Italian waiter. He was right from Italy. And I know how to say a few words of Italian. I know how to say, sono affamato. That means feed me, I'm starving. I can actually say it in 27 languages. Including ancient Aramaic. If I ever go back in a time machine, I want to cover my ass. So, I know how to say this, sono affamato. When Luigi walks up, he's going to take your order. He's a very pleasant man. Hello, sir. How you doing tonight? I said, sono affamato. He went, sono affamato! Look at you! Sono affamato! Don't you worry, we're going to sono affamato. Hold on, you got to tell Giuseppe what you tell me. Hey, Giuseppe, you come in here! Say what you say to me, you say to Giuseppe. Sono affamato. Sono affamato! Pretty soon they're dancing around me. Sono affamato! My friends are going, what you say? What you say? Oh, they fed me. They said, when we get done with you, you're going to explode all over the wall. They said, oh, no, we're not going to take your order. We're going to have a few things first. We're going to have a little healthy pasta, a little pasta fagioli, maybe some Caesar salad, a little bruschetta, maybe some meatballs, some sausage. They're going to have a little pasta. They're not going to come. I'm going to take your order. Oh, shit. And at about the 12th course, they get you because you can't move anymore. They feed you these in yolkies, and they lie like lead pellets in your stomach. So you can't move. You're just there going, oh, fuck, what did I do? And my friends are pissed at me. They're going, why'd you say that, sono affamato? Why'd you say that? He's coming with a plate of cannolis. Oh, my God. The last meatball, my arm went numb. They're trying to cram a cannoli in the good arm. And no matter how much you eat, you didn't eat enough. What's the matter? You're not lying. That's when I snapped. I had 14 plates, you crazy bastard. Where were you? I can't eat anymore. Listen, when you're scaring me, you're serving too much food.
John Bennett here on the Rockin' Comedy Show. Funny, funny guy. Speaking of funny guys, coming up here in just a little while, Matt Kirshen. You might remember him from Last Comic Stand, and he's going to be here to do Not in the News News with me, and we're going to talk with him about his life in comedy and much, much more. It's the Rockin' Comedy Show. I think I've started the show off right this week. We're going to continue to rock. We got to take a break, though, and we'll do it more when we get back after this.
Month after month, we hear the laments. Where are the quality investments? Interest rates are down. Bonds and IRAs flat. Well, one investment has surfaced recently, paying enormous dividends. It's priced reasonably, it's simple to purchase, and while you can't buy it on the stock market, you can buy it at your supermarket. It's any product or packaging made from recycled materials. When you buy those products, the paper, plastic, metal, and glass that you've recycled gets put to good use, and recycling keeps working to help protect the earth. So look for products and packaging made from recycled materials and buy recycled. In a world of investments, it's the only one that means the world to all of us.
For more information, call Environmental Defense at 1-800-2-RECYCLE or visit www.environmentaldefense.org. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
One voice. It can get the point across, but it only carries so far. Add a voice. It's richer, louder, but that has limits too. Add a third voice. It's even more powerful. Add another, and another, and many, many more. And we are stronger than ever. That's the power of a community coalition. They help community groups, faith groups, civic organizations, PTAs, employers, and many others in your community organize their resources and focus them where they're needed most, like fighting to keep kids away from drugs. Ask a group that you belong to if they should belong to a community coalition. It's easy to get involved. Visit helpyourcommunity.org and they'll tell you exactly how your group can help. That's helpyourcommunity.org, because you get more
when we get together.
Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who worked night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Chris Valenti, Emotional Wreck, and you're listening to Crazy J Show. Thanks for listening. We hope you like it. And back to you, Jay.
Chris Valenti here on the Rockin' Comedy Show with Don't Pass Out. You are listening to the internet show that 10,958 people have downloaded this month. It's called the Rockin' Comedy Show. I am your host, Crazy J. You can email me. It's very simple. It's crazyj@comic.com. Yes, at comic.com. It's my name, at comic.com. You can also find me on MySpace. It's myspace.com/crazyj13. We're keeping it rocking. We're keeping you laughing. It's the Rockin' Comedy Show. Coming up in the studio, Matt Kirshen from Last Comic Standing is going to be here to do the news. I'm excited. It's going to be fun. Right now, though, here is a request from Cheryl Martin of Portland, Oregon, who wanted to hear this one from Henry Phillips.
She's a mystery girl. No one knows what she's all about. She's a mystery girl. No one knows what she does. She says she doesn't have a job, but she drives a Lexus and she lives in Beverly Hills. She's a mystery girl. No one knows what she's all about. She's always getting pages right in the middle of our dates. Has to go right away. She's a mystery girl. No one knows what she's all about. Mystery girl. She pays her tab in singles. She comes home late in the evening. Says she's never in the mood. She got rug burns on her knees. She's a mystery girl. No one knows what she's all about. Oh, mystery girl, can you tell me why you cast me in your spell? Oh, the pain of the mystery girl. She's a mystery girl. Once I found some fuzzy handcuffs in the top drawer of her dresser. She got red hand marks on her ass. She's a mystery girl. No one knows what she's all about. Every time I call her up, her machine says candy cane can't come to the phone. She told me her name was Lisa. She's a mystery girl.
I have to watch what I eat. My cholesterol is about, I think it's 5,218. Something like that. I don't eat well. I like buying donuts. I feel bad for the donut ladies because people can't make up their mind in these places. You'd think the donut ladies would just snap and start shooting people. Out! Everybody out! Go on. I don't know what it is about buying donuts, but people freak out. They go in here, okay. Okay. I'm looking around. All right. I need a dozen donuts. Oh. You have a lot of donuts. Okay, I'm going to start with 4 chocolate. I want 2 twisty goose. I want a lemon twitter. I want a raspberry puff. I want a honey curl. And no, 2 chocolate. No, 1. Put it back. Put it back. I want a Bavarian apple crunch. Get the ladder. Hey, hey, hey. Why don't you go out inside and think it over, huh? It's a big decision. Can't blow donut day. But the donut ladies have learned how to get back at you. They do the subtraction for you in front of the other customers, make you look like an idiot. You go in there, yeah, I'd like a dozen donuts. I'll start with 7 chocolate. You have 5 left. Oh.
Okay, if I order one more, then how many would I have left? How many would I have then, donut lady? That's what I need to know, and now!
I know how many I got. They have some weird donuts. There are some donuts that I don't understand who thought of them. There's one donut. Have you ever seen this? I've seen it in more than one donut place. It's a donut with frosting all over the top, and there are sprinkles on it, but the sprinkles are just over on one end of the donut. For the life of me, I don't know who's looking for that in a donut. Somebody have that particular of a taste, that that's what they're looking for? You know, they walk into a donut place, gling, gling, gling. Gling, gling, gling. Okay. I want a donut, and I want frosting all over the top. And I want sprinkles, but not all over. I just want them scrunched over on the edge. You got anything like that? We sure do. Freshly baked. We saw you pulling in. It's called our Spring Smidge for lunatics like you.
Hey there, Delilah. What's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Times Square can shine as bright as you. I swear it's true. Hey there, Delilah, don't you worry about the distance. I'm right there if you get lonely. Give this song another listen. Close your eyes. Listen to my voice, it's my disguise. I'm by your side. Oh, it's what you do to me. What you do to me. Hey there, Delilah, I know times are getting hard, but just believe me, girl, someday I'll pay the bills with this guitar. We'll have it good. We'll have the life we knew we would. My word is good. Hey there, Delilah, I've got so much left to say. If every simple song I wrote to you take your breath away, I'd write it all. Even more in love with me, you'd fall. We'd have it all. Oh, it's what you do to me. Oh, it's what you do to me. Oh, it's what you do to me. A 1,000 miles seems pretty far, but they've got planes and trains and cars. I'd walk to you if I had no other way. Our friends would all make fun of us, and we'll just laugh along, because we know that none of them have felt this way. Delilah, I can promise you that by the time we get through, the world will never ever be the same, and you're to blame. Delilah, you be good and don't you miss me. 2 more years and you'll be done with school, and I'll be making history like I do. You'll know it's all because of you. We can do whatever we want to. Hey there, Delilah, here's to you. This one's for you.
Just happy.
having a little fun.
I thought it was toe-tapping fun.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Damn, that was fun.
Fun.
You are listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show. Crazy Jay with you right up here on the 44th floor. Joining us in the studio on the 44th floor, guy you might recognize the name. His name is Matt Kirshen. He was, of course, on last season's Last Comic Standing. How you doing, buddy?
I'm well. How you doing?
It's good to have you here.
Just get that last in there as well. Just make it clear it's yesterday's news now.
Right.
We're doing the new season right now as we speak.
I know. It's
my fame is drifting away.
I don't think so.
It's like a ship on the horizon. You can just see the top of it now. You can see the funnel. So it'll be just a bit of smoke.
So the first question I had, did you get to keep the jester outfit?
No, I did not. They took it straight back. That went right back to medieval times. And
that's terrible.
The costume, there's the dog again. It's your own fault, really, for having a radio studio and sausage factory in the same building. Why do you do this, Jay? You're a fool to yourself.
I know. It's torture.
It's a good business, I grant you, but you should know that just loose meats is going to attract stray dogs.
Loose meat? Yeah, well, I sell it to Wendy's, and we'll find out about that a little bit later on.
Good link. You're a pro.
So how long had you done comedy before you actually tried out for?
I think when I tried out for it, I was about pretty much dead on 6 years, which is, you know, a fraction of some of the guys on the show, but not quite as new and green as
right.
It might have appeared on the show. You know, they want the underdog and they want the young guy, and I was the young guy and I was one of the least experienced people on the show, but
so how
I've
young?
Still been a professional comic for a good couple of years.
So how old were you when you actually started comedy?
I was 21. I started my last year at college.
Wow.
And I'm 27 now.
Well, you certainly don't look 27.
This is true. I do not.
We went out and had drinks last night. You must get carded a lot.
Yeah, I do. That's, you know, it's partly because I just, yeah, I annoy bouncers. I piss them off.
Well,
toy
yeah.
Them. And also I play with, you know, I try and pay them with fake play money.
Well, maybe that's why you get wrong drinks that you order.
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't even the wrong drink, though. This is the thing. It was the right drink, just served nothing like it was meant to be. It was the serving suggestion was right. That's what it should have had on the pictures. Serving suggestion only.
And assembly required.
Yeah, it bore no resemblance whatsoever. I ordered some kind of boozy coffee type drink. It was late night. I wanted to wake myself up. And the picture on them. And you can generally assume that it's not going to look exactly like the picture. But it showed it in one of those clear glass coffee cups they have with a little handle towards the bottom, which is in exactly the wrong place for leverage
fancy
to pick it up.
Base.
So it's just going to spill on your hand. And clear so you can see the drink inside, and then like whipped cream on top and butterscotch draped over the top. And what I instead got was just some shitty China mug with a drink inside, and then just, and the cream was just, it wasn't like in an ashtray.
Yeah, the whipped cream, the whipped cream was on the side.
But like, it was like a little saucer or something going, you mate.
Well, and
put yourself out.
And it was funny because you were tired, you did your gig, and you're still, recovering from the jet lag, but I look over and you're just kind of staring at the menu like,
what is this?
And you're like, does this look like this? And it was just really funny.
I don't know, it'd be like sort of ordering, I don't know, some sort of souffle type dish, and you see it sort of displayed in the menu, and it's got the little garnish and the little the swirly sauce down in the little butt, and then instead like they serve it to you in a satchel. Just like a nose bag. Just go on, here you go, knock yourself out. Just tuck in there, mate.
Yeah, that was really fun. But just the look on your face, you're like, this looks nothing like the picture.
It really well.
It was awesome.
They hadn't even got the container right. That's the thing. It's not like they kind of spooned it a little. Oh, it's symmetrical in the picture, and here it's clearly asymmetrical or anything. No, it's just like... It's glass.
Well, maybe all their glasses were dirty. It was late. We were there. It was 2:00 in the morning. But so going back to Last Comic Standing, did anybody encourage you to do it, or was that just something?
Not really. I mean, people in England were a bit suspicious of it because it hadn't been shown in the UK at all. And this was the first season that they were showing on UK TV, so people were a little bit wary of it. I'd heard about it, but I'd not seen any episodes. I was I was on a train coming back from Glasgow to London, and I had a gig in London that night. I live in London anyway. And they were doing the auditions in the London Comedy Store. And it what you know, because of the suspicion, and there aren't as many comics anyway, there wasn't the 2 days worth of people waiting in line that you get in America. There were, you know, people, you had to wait around a little bit, but people were pretty much being, you know, you turn up and after about an hour of filling in paperwork and messing around and chatting to your mates, you go in and do the audition. So I did it. And then suddenly you're like, oh, okay, I'm into the evening gig now. I had to cancel the show that I was meant to be doing that night so I could do the evening part of it. And then suddenly got through, and that was the point where I thought, oh, okay. All right, I'm off to America now.
Was that, like, overwhelming? That you had actually made it?
But it all just kind of got swept along. The one that was really surprising was getting through the semifinals. I actually postponed my return flight back from the semifinals just because I thought that would be the only free trip I get out to America, and I didn't expect to be coming out again for the finals. So you see me do a proper full-on double take if you look at the footage when they announced my name. Like, because they hadn't taken any Australians either. That was the thing. And they made this big, we're going to Australia and Canada and England this year. And I thought, well, they've got to take at least one Australian, one Canadian, one Brit. They already had a Brit because Gina Yashere had gone through. Right. They already had two Canadians, Deborah and Jerry, and I was the last person to be picked. So I was like, well, when person nine was being announced, I thought this could be me. And then once person nine was gone, I thought, well, person 10 is going to be one of the Aussies. So you see me do a proper, it was cartoonish, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, but the whole experience, awesome.
Positive, you know. You mentioned the jester costume or whatever. There are parts when you look back and go, "Oh God, I look like a tool." You feel like an idiot for it. But I didn't have any career in America, and now I have one that is considerably better than a lot of people who've been working really hard. So you know, I'm in a very nice place, and I really can't complain. It's something that a lot of people work really hard to get, and I've got it.
But you tied with somebody, though, almost, right? During the gesture challenge?
Well, yeah, that was me and Dev.
Me and Deborah.
Who, and then we had the head-to-head afterwards. That was the, you know what, that was the one round that I was annoyed at not winning. That was, I was really, because I think I was the only one in that round who actually wrote proper material for it. Doug wrote some jokes, and most of the other people really just twisted their existing material, just put in a couple of yees and thous and, you know, changed car to chariot or whatever. I actually properly wrote material that I was genuinely pleased with, and it got a good reaction. I think I slightly stuffed my the last joke and lost the crowd a bit, and Deb was very funny, to her credit, but I was annoyed at not going through that one. I thought that was the challenge I had sewn up. I thought that was me winning it.
But, so, I mean, it's a great experience. You can't do wrong. I mean, it's the same people that do American Idol. You see them all over the place.
Yeah, and people really do love the show. And also, you know what? No matter how much of a comics and people in the industry go up to you and go, oh, I can't believe those challenges. They were horrible. And then every other member of the general public comes up and goes, the challenges were brilliant. Man, when you were heckling each other, that was awesome. I mean, people do like that kind of stuff, and they come out to the shows. That's all I've ever wanted, really, from when I started doing comedy, is to be in a position where people come and see me because it's me, and that's why they've actually come out to the show, and that's what I now have, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Any awkward challenge that you kind of were like, oh, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that?
Well, I hated the heckling thing, I wish now, I had a half-assed idea, because I had to heckle Amy, we were paired up with each other. I had a half-assed idea just before it started, when we'd been told the challenge before we did it, of just doing all kind of positive heckles, just shouting out things like, you're doing great, I am amused by your comedy, I am enjoying the thing you have just said, which throws you off your stride, but at the same time, you're not shouting abuse at someone, and I wish I had done that now, that's what I'd rather have gone for. You can always, you know, the second you don't win something like that, you look back and go, oh, if I did this bit instead of that bit, then maybe, but you could do that with any aspect of your life.
Right. Well, with you being, I guess, voted out or whatever, because you went up the head-to-head, do you think the outcome was good? Do you think John Reap was funny enough to be the last comic standing?
I like John a lot. I think he's very funny. I think Jerry is hilarious. I think he was coming out with some consistently funny material. But everyone, I think, really, the top 10 was strong.
It was strong.
I liked a lot of the guys in there and girls. They, you know, there was some funny, and the semi-finals as well. To be, you know, you had people like Fiona O'Loughlin, Tommy Jonagan. I'm gonna miss out loads of names. Joe DeVito. I'm missing out loads of names, but some really, really funny people who are coming out with great material.
Now, it seems like you bonded with Amy Schumer pretty good on the show.
Well, we were the two rookies on the show. We were, you know, we were very much the kind of underdogs all the way through. And yeah, she's a good mate. She's funny.
I think that's why I was rooting for you guys, because you were the underdogs. Like,
yeah, and I think that's what got me great feedback off the show. I think a lot of people still really responded well to that. You know, as long as you're funny as well with it. But, you know, everyone loves an underdog. Everyone loves the little story of the plucky kid coming through or whatever kind of bullshit you want to construct. It's,
I have to say that I think one of my favorite jokes you told on that, maybe you could tell it, is your love for bacon.
Oh, that, yeah, it's a true thing. It's becoming a whole longer bit in my show now, because it's something like, you know, just occasionally you get these little bits where you're telling your friends about, or you're telling your mates about things that your family does or things that happened to you when you're a kid, and then either you realize or they say, why are you not talking about this on stage? But the other thing is the fact that, I mean, like my grinning thing, the fact that I actually broke my front two teeth on the bottom of a swimming pool, which is something that happened to me. Again, my friend Carey, who's a comic, who used to be one of my roommates, was like, why are you not talking about this on stage? Because it's something that's almost impossible to do. It really is. It's just to be so happy about diving into a pool. Like, the angles are almost impossible, but yeah, I consider myself to be a kinder Jew. It's a really weird thing, because when you're Jewish, you're kind of Jewish whatever your beliefs are, and I don't follow any of the beliefs, because for a start, bacon is delicious. I mean, really, even vegetarians, like, sneakily like the smell a lot of the time. They have fake bacon products, which don't really get close to the real thing, but sort of smell just about similar enough. But bacon is really nice, and I'm not going to deny myself the nicest meat in the world on the exactly. orders of a god. I don't believe in it. You know, I think it's like driving at the speed limit when you know there's no cameras. Who are you doing that for? Oh, if Mum found out. It's just... but friends do this to me. Friends actually... People who know me really well are like... think I can't eat bacon. Just tell me, you are a Jew. Jews can't eat bacon. As if it's a physical thing. We're like, pork disagrees with us. And Moses came down from the mountain with dietary advice. My children of Israel, it's about the bacon. You can, but I wouldn't. But I don't know. This is the thing that I've only recently started talking about on stage in addition to it, which I think is just ludicrous. And I found lots of other people who do it or whose families do this. This is my family's version of keeping kosher. Because like I said, I don't do it at all. The family home, the house I grew up in, is a kosher house. So that means, you know, no pork, no bacon is cooked in our kitchen. But then we'd leave the house and we'd eat bacon. You know, but the house is kosher. As long as the house is going to heaven,
right.
That's what's important, right?
Right.
But this is the weirder one. We would order in Chinese food, pizzas, like Hawaiian pizza or pork chow mein, and then we'd eat it off paper plates and protect the table with newspaper to trick God. The logic of that.
That's hilarious. But bacon's so good, I think pigs would eat it.
Well, I think they would. I think, well, pigs would eat anything, though. Pigs eat shit. That's not... That's not a good test of whether it's a tasty meal.
It's like George Wallace says, chicken is so good if you cook it right, chicken will eat chicken.
Yeah.
And chicken is the only animal that doesn't die of natural causes.
Is it not?
That's what they say.
Chicken must die of natural causes.
It doesn't live long enough. We kill it.
But if you had a chicken in the wild, if one escaped, surely you're not telling me there'd be a like 150-year-old grandfather chicken with a long beard sitting on the stone departing words of wisdom to the younger chickens. Wise sayings, aphorisms.
Be careful of the axe.
Yeah.
But Matt Kirshen is here. It is the Rockin' Comedy Show. I've invited you here to help out with the news.
Absolutely.
You took a look at some of the stories. What's your opinion before we go?
My opinion is you're a pervert.
I'm a pervert?
All the news sources.
People in the news are perverts.
I'm sure there's real news as well somewhere.
This is real news.
It's all sex and dead animals.
This is the news that people are too scared to talk about. So I feel it's my job to make people aware that there's perverts out there.
And you're doing.
And one of the main perverts is from the UK.
One of the main. Well, yeah, we pride ourselves in our perverts.
So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be doing Not in the News News with Matt Kirshen. And I'm sure his take on it's going to be great.
We'll see.
We'll be back.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop. But I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes, and to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying, and most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Max. Pause the game. Why hasn't she called me back? He just called her. Becky, it's me. Pick up the phone. I know you see my number on your caller ID.
Here he goes again.
You're starting to piss me off. Why haven't you called me back? This is the 4th message I left you.
Listen to him.
You do not want to get me mad. Number one, I told you not to go out. Number two, I told you to check in with me. Why are you always doing this to me?
What, does he think he owns her?
Who do you think you are? You do not want me to get ugly.
Should I say something?
What, are you stupid or something? Call me back. I can't believe the way she treats me.
The way she treats you? How about the way you treat her, man?
Speak up. Just because it isn't physical doesn't mean it's not abuse. To learn more, go to seeitandstopit.org. This public service message is brought to you by the Teen Action Campaign, the Family Violence Prevention Fund, and the Ad Council.
What do belly flops and jackknives off the diving board have to do with keeping kids off drugs?
Look out below!
Everything. That's why the Troy Community Coalition volunteered to supervise Friday night swims at the town pool. Because kids who have something to do are less likely to do drugs. And when you give a little of your time,
you can keep a kid off drugs.
To find out about community drug prevention groups, call toll-free 1-877-KIDS-313. 1-877-KIDS-313. A public service message from the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Nuts to say you're crazy, Jay. You're nuts to say you're crazy, Jay. You're nuts to say you're crazy, you're sane as anybody. You're nuts to say you're crazy, Jay. Cause you don't hitchhike on the freeway in the new. And you don't sit in Denny's all night staring at your food. And you don't hear satanic voices in your brain. You're normal. Nuts to say you're crazy, Jay. You're nuts to say you're crazy. Your sound is anybody. You're nuts to say you're crazy, Jay. Cause you don't look for spacemen in the park. And you don't bark like a dog when there's a cat in your yard. And you don't walk backwards in the mall. You're a fake. You're not disturbed at all. You're nuts to say you're crazy, Jay. Nuts to say you're crazy, Jay. You're nuts to say you're crazy. You're normal as can be. You're nuts to say you're crazy, Jay. Cause you don't have an imaginary friend who goes with you to the movies and eats milk duds from your hand. And you don't cry when you see flies die. You're a fraud. You're a normal guy. You should be ashamed. You're not deranged. Not a flake. a fake. You're nuts to say you're crazy, Jay. You're nuts to say you're crazy, Jay. You're nuts to say you're crazy, you're sane as anybody. You're nuts to say you're crazy. Well, maybe you are crazy. Jay.
I'm not a big technology fan. My parents, oh my God, they're like living with the Amish people. They don't even have an answer machine. I'm like, come on, Dad, why don't you find an answer machine? No, because if we're not home, God damn it, we're not home. Thank you, Buddha. That was terribly insightful. As a result, my mom can't even leave messages on other people's machines without getting real panicky. I get real dumb messages like, Kathleen, this is your mom, Vicky Madigan, and, she states her full name. Like, I play home, sit on the couch, look at her, and think, what the hell is her last name? I see her at all the holidays. I just can't place her. They don't have a computer. I still have a brother in college. Why don't you buy a computer, Dad? No, 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 no. We have a fine set of encyclopedias. Like, Dad, that's like saying we can't have an oven because we have a phone. One. And we don't have a fine set of encyclopedias because Mom did not find enough groceries to get all the letters. We're working off B and W here now. So I am swinging single here at home. We have a lot of single people here tonight. Clint, single people? Huh? All my college friends are getting married. I did go to college. Boy, what a week that was. I went everywhere. Went to the community college for math. A lot of flow. A lot of people make fun of flow in Merrimack, but a lot of people don't. They do. They give you shit about it. But they don't know this. I found this out. If you go to a community college long enough, after a while, they let you be the teacher. Went to SIU for a while. Terrible football team. Lost the game on national television, 79-0. It was 52-0 at the half, and the coach goes, well, I just didn't know what to say to him. I thought, I know what I would have said. I would have walked out and said, all right, here's the plan. We're leaving. I talked to the band, and they've always kind of wanted to play football. George, you're switching uniforms. Grab a tuba. Play anything. They suck, too. No one will even know. College friends are getting married. They're getting divorced, too. Divorce is just out of control. It's the marriages that are a problem, though. I got one friend, he's 36. He's been married 5 times. That's ridiculous. I think when you go get that fifth marriage license, those people put that off, and you just go, no. No, you can't have any more, sir. See, because you suck at this, and you're not aware of it. We'll give you a learner's permit. I think the older you get, the longer you stay single, the lower your standards start slipping. Oh, yeah. Because you're too tired to give a shit anymore. I used to be real picky. Oh, when I get married, he's going to have to be tall, dark, handsome, educated, wealthy, and I'm down to like a registered voter. I'd marry a midget just for the handicapped parking. Come on, Scooter, we are going to the mall and we are getting a good spot. That's terrible. I should make fun of short people. I'm very short myself. Shrinking, too. According to the AMA, if you're over the age of 21, you have already started the shrinking process. If you make it to age 90, we will all have shrunk anywhere from 2 to 6 inches. That's a lot, isn't it? I'm going to be like 3'8". Running under coffee tables. Hey, 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 hey.
Get the beer off my head. I'm not a coaster.
My mom's really short. That's the cool thing, though. If you had a short mom, you never really had to take discipline seriously. No matter how mad they got, you'd be laughing at them. Oh, she'd be all pissed off. I have had it up to here with you kids. I'm like 4'2". We could punt you to the kitchen. Why don't you get back on the couch before you back?
Thank you.
Democrats are probably idiots, too.
You idiot!
You're a fat idiot.
You, sir, are an idiot.
He's just an idiot.
I felt like such an idiot!
You are listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show. We're up here on the 44th floor. Joining me for Not in the News today, very funny guy, Matt Kirshen is here. He's been in Vegas this week at the Riviera Comedy Club. Fine establishment, huh?
Yeah, well, it's Vegas. It's nothing but class and glamour all the way. I love that veneer of glamour they managed to still cast over. You know, the ushers still have the kind of tuxedos on and everything, but then inside there's just some guy spilling out of a pair of shorts. And is it America-wide? I don't think it is. I think it's Vegas, really, where it's just become acceptable to get a motorized scooter just because you're a bit fat.
Oh, it's just Vegas. It's just Vegas. They'll use those carts for anything.
But just, you're looking at, what's wrong? There's nothing wrong with you. I watched a guy check out, and he handed over the scooter and then just walked out the building.
Right.
It's just so lazy now.
It's just the casinos are so big.
They're so big, and they don't want anything to distract them from the slot machines. It's going to get to the point where they're going to have, like, a toilet built into it as well. They can just eat piss and shit all the way, or they're just constantly putting money in the slot. So they don't have to exert at any point, no physical effort, just keep gambling.
Well, oxygen tanks and cigarettes.
I saw the oxygen tank as well on the back of that. My God, you're not painting a picture of health there, my friend.
Yeah, because in Vegas, it's apparently Indian for wear whatever you want, because they wear whatever they want.
Yeah, it really is. I saw a guy wearing what I think it must have been, like, sort of velvet curtains that had been fashioned into some kind of romper suit.
Oh, I love this city.
What clothes that really are only acceptable when you're less than 11 months. I think by the time you hit your first birthday, you've really got to grow out of that kind of clothing. But it's pure comfort clothes. I don't want anything to distract me.
That's right. It's wearing sweats in public.
It's not even sweats, though. It's just, you know, that I can kind of understand. You could, you know, if you work it right, you could project that, hey, you know, I've just been shooting some hoops in the backyard with the guys. Check me out. No, this is just, I'm really too lazy to use a zip.
Exactly. Well, let's get started. Most of these stories are usually pretty off the wall. Usually the stories are drug-related, naked-related, drunk-related, or just people acting really fucking stupid.
Right.
So we're going to get things started with our first story that takes place in Boulder, Colorado. Seems that a woman was arrested after police said she locked herself in a bathroom with a dead dog at a Boulder's Wendy's and refused to come out.
And that's for real. That's not a euphemism or anything.
Right. She
had a dead dog, took it to Wendy's.
She wasn't in there taking a crap. She actually took a dead dog in there. Police said that Wendy Washam was crying, and employees reported smelling a foul odor coming from the locked bathroom.
Which is something for Wendy's. Like, for it to trump the normal foul odors that's coming from Wendy's bathroom, you really...
Yeah, you're like,
this dog's going to be pretty far gone.
No, that doesn't smell like our normal smell here.
That doesn't smell like someone's been crapping out a month's worth of Wendy's.
When officers persuaded the woman to unlock the door, they found the decaying dog in a duffel bag.
Oh, so it's portable. It's a portable dead dog. I thought at first he was just on a leash.
Roller skates, so she's carrying it around.
Yeah.
Washam told police the dog had been dead for about a week. She told police she thought the dog would come back to life in 13 days. That's what I said. It says it right there. She told police she thought the dog would come back to life in 13 days. The 36-year-old woman was arrested on suspicion of trespassing at the Wendy's located at 1965 28th Street.
So I love the way... That's like... She was arrested on suspicion of trespassing.
Not the fact that she had a dead, decaying dog in her duffel bag.
Obviously, that's not against the law. There's no law against having a dead dog in Wendy's, but they've got to prove that, well, if you got the dead dog there, you're not a customer.
Right.
I think if she just bought, like, a portion of fries or something, then she'd be fine. They'd have no recourse. She's right. Are they just... It looks like they're just trying to get some kind of
It's like the way they got Al Capone on tax evasion.
Right.
They're just finding some side thing. Well, we'll get her on the trespassing. We can't make this dead dog thing stick. I think one of the nicest, I nearly broke the studio.
That's all right.
Millions.
You wouldn't be the first person.
Millions down the drain. I think that's one of the most beautiful things about the story. I think if anything, Wendy should be congratulating themselves for the strength of their advertising and their product recognition and image name. The fact that they're so ingrained in people's psyche that this woman who's clearly so deranged, that so screwed up, that she thinks she's got this dead dog, it's going to come back to life in 13 days, I got to do something, I got to take it somewhere to a safe place. The first thing she thinks is Wendy's.
Well, maybe the voice in her head was like, if you take it to Wendy's, it will come back to life.
But that's the thing, it's just circulating in her mind. It's not, you know, she's not talking about, she didn't take it to church or to a graveyard or
the pet cemetery,
Stonehenge or ley lines or whatever. She took it to Wendy's. I think that's well done, Wendy's marketing department. Winning the fight.
Doesn't she realize that usually the food at Wendy's would kill you, not bring you back to life?
Maybe, but that's the thing, she's been won over by them.
Oh, this is a great story. It seems that a paramedic who tripped and fell while on a 999 call is suing the heart patient he was sent to help. So nice. Stephen Canning claims he stumbled and twisted his ankle when a security light outside the home of Joan Broadman, 82, went out. Joan and her husband James have been sent a solicitor's letter claiming loss of earnings following the accident. Mm-hmm. James, 83, called the ambulance when Joan suffered what the couple thought to be an angina attack at their home. He said, we shouldn't have to pay out for him falling over. It's morally wrong and has left a very sour taste in my mouth.
I don't know, I'm in two minds on this one. Because on the one hand, if you're a paramedic and you go around to someone's place, and their place is so much of a death trap that it completely screws you up. If you can't call a paramedic to I'm in the center of the maze, you've got to swing over the rope to get to me. Oh, I'm dying, you better be quick. then it's your fault if the guy hurts himself. But they did say the security light outside the home went out. That's what security lights are meant to do. They go out unless you're moving. Maybe he wasn't moving enough. Maybe he was just a bad paramedic. Shouldn't he be doing stuff?
Maybe he was sneaking up on him.
Yeah, sneaking her out the building like a sneaky paramedic. What was he doing? Was it on the way in?
But
or
if
the
he
way
had,
out?
If they had the, I don't know, if they had the ambulance lights on, you think that would trigger the security lights not to turn off?
I don't know. I'm not an expert in security lights and whatever it might say on the
internet.
It's a lie.
We'll investigate.
I know nothing of these things, but I don't know. Was he going in? Was he going out? Was he carrying her at the time?
I think it's before.
Was he turning to the other paramedics and going, check this out, before he did some kind of somersault or something?
I don't think he... I think he was going in when he was tripping and falling.
And if you... So,
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Well, the other point is, if he's that shocked by a light going out that he trips and twists his ankles, could he... He's probably not safe near an ambulance either. He shouldn't be near any flashing lights. He's a danger to himself and to society.
Oh, this next story is good. Why don't you do this one? This is a good story.
Which one are we on?
This is the van fire.
The van fire. You're just getting me to do this because it's long and you don't want to read out. This is quite a lot of text. Kid sets fire on van in... Is it Adel or Adele's parking lot?
Adele's.
What is the Dells? It's a diner, it says so here. After setting a fire that burned a van in the parking lot of a Dells diner on Saturday afternoon, a nervous 9-year-old Santa Rosa boy walked over to his father's grey late model sedan, opened the door, and got in. Hiding was no use. Too many people had seen the, whatever the name of the school is, student suspiciously walking about the parking lot. His father was inside a Dells, which, again, let's make clear, is a diner and not a person, having a cup of coffee with a relative. Within seconds, the news spread throughout the restaurant that a vehicle was on fire in the parking lot. We could smell it, and I thought there was a problem with the electrical in the restaurant, said a particularly unobservant Cloverdale resident.
Loretta Komota, the van's owner. Within minutes, firefighters doused the blaze, burning the front end of the van with an engine hose and 50 gallons of water. That's very accurate reporting there, Martin Espinosa, the Press Democrat reporter. Getting an exact gallon measurement of water there. I'm impressed by it. Because most journalists would have just gone, yeah, they just chucked a bit of water on there, but...
50 gallons.
Martin's gone the extra mile there. He's really found out. It really adds to the story. It wasn't long before police and fire investigators arrived and got the boy to give a tearful confession, which, let's face it, isn't that hard, because he's a 9-year-old boy. I was just playing with the lighter, the boy said, standing next to his father's car. I thought it was going to explode, said the boy, in a barely audible voice. A nice little bit of colour there from Martin. Just checking that little bit of texture in there, just really paints a picture, Martin does. We now know the exact tone of voice that the boy was confessing in, and the gallon of water. Let's see how many more details we get. Santa Rosa resident Lyle Barrow, good, couple of details there, was amongst those who saw the boy pacing in the parking lot about 45 minutes before the fire started. That's a good point, because that suggests that he was either about to set fire to a van, or he was a kid. Barrow had been in his car waiting for friends. What was he even doing? So hang on. 45 minutes, they just chucked the kid out in the parking lot anyway.
Well, that's what they get for leaving him in the car.
Yeah, just...
He was bored. He's 9 years old, he didn't have a PlayStation or anything. What's he gonna do?
You just take the light of the... here we go. On hearing the boy's confession, Fire Battalion Chief Andy... whatever the hell... held several conversations with the boy and his father. Forsh, that was his name. I thought I'd get out of it the first time, but it...
I think the P is silent.
Martin scuffed me. He chucked it in again. Forsh and other officials took the boy to a spot next to the fire engine. The boy's eyes were still red, and his expression was one of fear. Martin, you're outdoing yourself. He's shooting for the Pulitzer here. We're going to get the kid into a juvenile fire setter program, said Forsh. What the hell is that? I really think that's for kids who've been setting fire.
I don't think he needs a class. He knows how to set a fire.
Yeah, is that what it is? Or is it just instructing them how to make them a little bit better? Or is it just like, you burn our stuff, we burn you? Forsh continues, the little boy needs some real strict attention to any of his significant emotional issues he's going through.
You know what I think is great is the next time I see a van on fire, I'm going to be like, we need 50 gallons of water to put this out.
Exactly. Well, it doesn't tell you how big the van is, though. That's the only issue.
I'm thinking it's probably an average-sized van.
So, yeah, I think we can probably adjust. Like a smaller van, maybe.
Yeah.
35, 40 gallons.
But just to be safe, 50.
Yeah. Why not? Let's err on the side of safety here. It's a fire, after all.
See, that's why I wanted you to read it. Not the fact that it was long. It was just...
Yeah,
I thought you would enjoy Martin Espinosa's...
And you know, the last paragraph here, just, the boy's father said he didn't understand why his son was playing with the lighter. It's one of those things where kids do things without thinking, he said, showing a remarkable understanding of children and demonstrating exactly why he should be a parent.
And be nine.
he's really got to the core of the issue there. I don't know why the kid was... playing with the lighter. Maybe it's because he was a kid and he was in the parking lot outside some diner for 45 minutes pacing around like a maniac with other people going, oh, that's a pacey kid.
And it's a diner. Why wouldn't you take your kid into the diner with you? You were having coffee with a relative.
Yeah, wait, did it say... Yeah, it said, hang on.
The father was inside a Del's having coffee with a relative.
That's right, yeah.
So why was he in the van?
Maybe it's only older relatives who are allowed inside the diner. Yeah, there you have a cup of coffee with a relative. So it's not a business meeting. He's not.
Yeah, I'm gonna write Martin a letter and ask him how come.
Yeah, yeah. Martin. I mean, I do like his journalism. I've always been a fan of Martin Espinosa and his writing. His description, his flowery prose is a joy to behold. But he's missing a couple of facts there. He's glossing over some of the key issues here.
Oh, can it get weirder than a kid lighting a van on fire? I think it can. In fact, I think some people probably have heard about this story, but It fits our criteria for the news. That's why it's here. Seems that a woman has filed a lawsuit against American Airlines because a passenger next to her masturbated while she slept.
Yep.
Sometimes you just got to take care of the needs. A 21-year-old Harris County woman filed a $200,000 lawsuit against American Airlines, alleging employees on the flight to Los Angeles from Dallas failed to protect her while she slept from another passenger who masturbated to her and ejaculated in her hair.
There's no aspect to that that's not funny. I mean, it was probably quite unpleasant for the girl, but at the same time, that's funny.
According to a lawsuit she filed last week, the Harris County woman alleges employees knew of the risk associated with failing to police the passenger to ensure the passengers do not hurt one another. He didn't hurt her.
I don't know. It depends what he'd been eating.
The suit states airline officials did not return calls seeking comment in a statement to a Houston television station. Last year, a spokeswoman said the company regretted the incident, but the flight crew took appropriate action. The woman and her lawyer could not be reached for comment. Why is that? You're going to file a lawsuit, but you're not available for comment.
I don't know, maybe she's still shaking in a corner.
I have nothing to say.
But
There's nothing I can say.
So why did they not... I mean, I presume they didn't step in because they were unaware of this, because...
Right. I'm sure he did it secretly, maybe under his blanket. I'm sure he just wasn't out in the open with his pants down around his ankles.
Actually, hang on. When the woman opens her eyes... hang on. I'm jumping a little bit ahead.
That's fine.
Sorry, but... When the woman opened her eyes, she saw that an unknown man, I presume he's known now, if not by his name, then by his nickname, that an unknown man had moved into the seat next to her and was staring at her as he masturbated.
Yeah, that wasn't even his seat. He got out of his seat and moved next to her.
Yeah, but he was staring at her as he masturbated. But yeah, you're right, he might have not necessarily been masturbating in the open.
Yeah, he could just... You know, grab the blanket.
And also, you know, the airline people are busy. You know, the air crew, they're busy people. They've got a lot to do. They're serving drinks and the like. Maybe they didn't, you know, they might have glanced over and seen what was going on, but just thought, didn't notice that the guy had moved over. They might have just thought, oh, young love.
Young love.
Could have been a honeymoon couple. He's making an early start.
Well, the woman she turned towards the window in embarrassment and in an act of nervousness began to run her fingers through her hair when she noticed a substantial amount of an extremely sticky substance in her hair.
Extremely sticky as well, which is interesting. So that probably helped track down the guy. Just the level of stickiness might have been the thing that did it.
The woman began...
They just had like a little...
The woman began...
Line up five guys in a row. Right, everyone masturbate. Yeah. Masturbate into this wig.
We have to determine...
Was it this sticky? How sticky was it?
The woman began to cry and tried to get the attention of a flight attendant, but was unsuccessful. Finally, a passenger in the row in front of the woman comforted her and verified the semen in her hair.
Verified?
Like what'd she do, taste and go... Yep.
I think they do it like the way they do with coke in cop films. Like, just like that, rubs a little bit in his gum. It's semen.
Yeah, it is definitely semen. When the police landed...
Extremely sticky.
When the plane landed, employee called airport police and the man was arrested. The suit alleges that during the investigation, American Airlines employees told police they witnessed the man move from his assigned seat into the row where the woman was sleeping. The woman is seeking punitive damages and a jury trial.
But, you know, I've moved seats during flights. Not so I could masturbate into someone's hair, but just, you know, there's a little bit more space here. That if you were in a flight, you wouldn't notice that as necessarily a creepy thing. It's just, you just could be moving to somewhere that's a little bit more roomy. Yeah, they let you do that. But it's not like they actually noticed the masturbating and were like, well, I'm sorry, this is a cheaper short-haul flight. We only stop actual full-on bodily rape on this one. Now, we can stop the masturbation for a fee of £5, $5. Oh, I'm betraying my roots there. I thought I was fully acclimatized.
It's all right. I mean, it's not like the guy was having sex with a lamppost.
That.
Oh, and speaking of a guy having sex with a lamppost, and your hometown.
It's not my hometown. It's my home country. England's bigger than that. It's not all one big town. Hello, Thomas. Hello, Matt. That's Thomas from England.
You want to do this? I think you should do this one.
Well, a 32-year-old man has been arrested in Wiltshire for allegedly simulating a sex act with a lamppost. Now, they have to put in simulating here because... Yeah. I don't know. When does it actually count as genuine, actual sex act with a lamppost?
Maybe when you're fully naked.
I don't know.
Or you get the lamppost pregnant.
I mean, this was just obviously a trial run. This is in the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph newspaper as well, I noticed that, which is a major right-wing broadsheet newspaper. So I'm expecting some high-end journalism here.
Well, we'll see if Bonnie's got the same skills as Martin.
Well, let's see. So this incident is the latest in a spate of bizarre sex crimes involving inanimate objects. Now, I'm not entirely sure about the word crimes here, but let's carry on. A police spokesman said officers were called to a road in the town of Westbury on February the 16th after they received a report of a man acting indecently outside a block of flats occupied by several young women. As if that makes a difference. The guy was after the lamppost. Oh, there's young women in there. Several of them. Really? What, young women in a block of flats? There's a building with young women. They do that. Whenever they have one of those stories, there could have been children watching. It's so irrelevant to the issue. It was possibly within plain sight of a priest. I am sickened. He could have corrupted an animal. I don't know. The man was released on bail, but following an investigation into the incident and several interviews with witnesses, including children and YouTube, he was recalled for questioning. He has since been re-released pending further inquiries. The Wiltshire police spokesman said, "We are awaiting a decision as to whether there should be a prosecution." Let the guy shag a lamppost.
And I like how you threw the YouTube in, that was nice.
Well, you know, it probably is. Someone will have a camera phone on the go.
That was, I'm like, wait, that doesn't say that in there, but that was nice. Good play.
I don't know. I know that a lamppost can't technically give consent. I know there is that issue there, but at the same time, I really think, and I know it's public property as well, but unless they have to start chopping the lamppost down so they can take it to the hospital to have it removed, I just see no real problem with it. Let the guy have a go. The carries on. This incident echoes a similar case last week when a Polish contractor, although Polish, was caught on his knees with a vacuum cleaner in a hospital staff canteen. A security guard walked in on the man in the middle of a compromising act with a Henry Hoover appliance. It does have a little face on it, the Henry Hoover, so maybe that's what did it for him. He later claimed he was cleaning his underpants. He has now been fired. I mean, thankfully nothing like that has ever happened to me.
Who cleans their underpants in a vacuum, though?
I don't know, it's quite lazy. Well, maybe it's not ingenious. It's ingenious. I just Hoover the skids out. I have never been caught in a compromising position of that nature, nor have I ever had to go to the hospital to have anything like that removed. But I really hope if I ever do, I would just be bold enough to go, listen, it looked vaguely like the shape of something that would go up there. I thought I'd be able to get it out. I was wrong. Now kindly do your job.
And no more further discussion.
Yeah, no more. I was disco dancing and I was tripped over and yeah, any of that kind of... I was practicing naked somersaults and you know how it goes. Just, I shoved it up me. I couldn't get it out. You're the professional. Let's just get this over and done with. Actually, this is interesting because the other story it mentions in here, something I remember being on the news... I was in England when this thing happened. It says last year... Robert Stewart, no reason why you should know his name, other than was placed on probation for 3 years after being caught trying to have sex with a bicycle. The 51-year-old was naked from the waist down when two cleaners walked in on him at the Abley House Hospital in southwest Scotland. He paused only to ask, "What is it, hen?" before continuing to move his hips back and forth as if to simulate sex.
Why can't people knock?
Well, exactly. In 1993, Carl Watkins, an electrician, was jailed for having sex with pavements in Redditch, Worcestershire. Pavements, plural, that's interesting. But the bike one, he was in his own private room and the cleaner came in. I honestly don't know how he lost that case. How is what he's doing illegal? It's not like he phoned the cleaner's up and went, come and take a look at this, or, yeah, oh, my bicycle's a bit dirty, have a closer look. Oh, what's that going in and out of it? It's my cock. He was in his, you know, bicycles don't do it for me, I'm going to be honest with you here, but if that's what gets him off, then that's what gets him off. If they'd walked in on him and he was having sex with a woman, or having sex with his wife, and he went, what is it, hen? Would he be on probation? No, he just, they're penalising him, just because he happens to be a biker sexual, or whatever.
A bike sexual.
Yes, a bike sexual. How did I miss that joke? I apologize. I have failed in my duties as a comedian.
An off-duty Disney security guard has been released from jail after being charged with indecent exposure in public battery and child abuse, authorities said. John Brigel, 43, was arrested and released the same day on $6,000 bond. A woman flagged down a Groveland police officer and told him that a neighbor had just hit her 11-year-old son in the face.
With what?
The boy said he was collecting money for his school's fundraising campaign when he rang Rochelle's doorbell 4 or 5 times, the arrest affidavit said. The boy said Rochelle answered the door naked, berated him for ringing the doorbell, then struck him on the side of the head with a closed fist.
Okay, before we go any further, if I was naked anyway, and I'm assuming that this guy started off naked, he didn't go, oh, there's a kid knocking on the door, I'm going to get my kid off quickly. And some little shit rang my doorbell 4 or 5 times for the school. What's he even raising money for, what school? I don't know. But 4 or 5 times, you're already getting close to a punch. Anyway, sorry.
He had the punch coming. He admitted to answering the door nude and yelling at the boy, but he said he kept his body hidden behind the door and denied hitting the boy. I try to pronounce his name the best as I can. Zoroya Torres, a spokeswoman for Disney, confirmed to the Sentinel that Brigel worked for the theme's park security department and said that he had been placed on unpaid leave pending the outcome of his case.
That is an unfortunately named spokeswoman. You'd have thought they'd have thought ahead of that one, given that she has to be announced in every news
story. Give it
story.
To Robert Jones.
Yeah, or at least give her a stage name, Fred.
Yeah, something that people can pronounce.
Yeah.
A telephone message left for Disney spokeswoman by the Associated Press was not immediately returned, of course. There was no telephone number.
Oh, Friday, it says that. Sorry, what did you say?
There was no telephone number listed for Brigel, and it was not immediately known if he had an attorney.
No. They've done it again, the same way they went, there were women in the block of flats. The fact that he's a Disney security guard just makes all the difference.
Oh, because it's a kid place.
I'm inclined to believe that he did have his body behind the door. And if this kid's the kind of person who would ring the doorbell 5 or 6 times, then he could well be the kind of kid who goes, let me hit me.
Put your pants up.
Just, I don't know, just open the door wide enough just to go, get the fuck away from me, and then slam the door again. I don't know, maybe he did open it and they gave him, but either way, the fact that he's a Disney security guard, and people go, oh my god, he was a Disney, what if we go to Disney, and...
and he's naked.
And he's naked, he opens the door to the Magic Kingdom and punches my son in the face. I don't want to go to Disney and get punched in the face by a naked man.
Well, you can let Tigger punch you in the face, because remember there was that story a while back where Tigger was punching that kid.
And again, some of the kids who are at Disney.
Yeah, they deserve to be punched. As a former Disney employee, there's a lot of kids I wanted to punch, but I restrained myself.
What did you used to do for Disney?
I started as a ride operator, working the Jungle Cruise, and worked my way into management. Mickey Mouse was my
boss. You've done every crappy job in hospitality that has ever existed.
Well, there's a few I haven't done.
Really?
Yeah. I'll stay away from
table that. Dancer?
No, I that's one I haven't done. All right, we just have a few stories left. This one is good. This is about a teen mom who has been arrested and is facing charges of having sex with a player on the youth basketball team. Way to go, mom. Team support.
Yeah.
The police department arrested Janice Marie Nicole after investigating reports that she had intercourse with members of the team. Detectives.
Members, plural.
Yeah, members. She's a team mom. Detectives from the Family Investigative Response Service team found the victim and learned that Nicole allegedly met the victim while she was a team mom of a private athletic team. Nicole is being charged with a 2-felony count of unlawful sexual intercourse with a minor of more than a 10-year age difference. She was booked into the Solano County Jail.
So what counts as a minor? You know this in American law. Because like, how old in theory could this kid be?
A minor here is anybody under 18.
Okay, so you could be like, you know, 17 and a half years old and still, you know, naughty
it's
mom
still minor,
at the same time.
Still minor. Well, here in Nevada,
they don't mention the age of the guy at all in here, or the guys.
Right. Well, here in the here in Nevada, age of consent is 17.
Right.
So.
So I mean, there's a huge difference here. This, you know, huge possible. This, you know, is this like someone who's pretty much an adult but technically underage and she's in a bit of trouble, or are these like really young kids and she's actually inserting them?
Right.
Where are we up to on this? I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this story, and I don't think I should comment on it until I have a better grounding on the legality of the situation.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish up with Not in the News. Matt Kirshen is here, of course. Funny guy. Check him out on MySpace. What's your MySpace? It's just Matt Kirshen?
My MySpace is, / Matt Kirshen, which is spelled MattKirshen.
Find out where he's playing.
Best way is just Google Matt Kirshen. There's no one else with my name, so if you get it wrong, you get the did you mean that there's no... Oh, no, there's an Israeli lecturer who's now been pushed onto page 8 of Google, and I presume is furious about that. But, yeah, Google Matt Kirshen, and the top thing that comes up is my MySpace page.
And check him out. He's funny. He's got some clips on there from Last Comic Standing. Again, man, I thought for sure you were 4th, not 7th.
Well...
Yeah, I was really bummed when you told me that last night. I was like, hey, he was 4th. Guys, if I would have known that, I wouldn't have booked John here. I'm just kidding.
I know, yeah. Do you want the number for Amy? She was number 4.
Yeah, she was number 4.
I know people. I can connect you.
But we're going to take a quick break. We'll finish up with the news, and we'll be back right after this.
Let's talk about dying. Everybody's got to do it, but nobody wants to talk about it. So talking about organ donation is even harder, because to talk about that, you gotta admit you're gonna die, and that's hard. Maybe people think if they don't talk about it, it won't happen. You know what? That's exactly what happens with organ donation. If you don't talk to your family about it, it won't happen. Yeah, it's kinda creepy, maybe weird, but you get to give the biggest gift in the whole world, life. So this is what I think. Organ donation is not about dying. It's about living. Talk to your family about living. Talk to your family about donating life.
Call 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Coalition on Organ and Tissue Donation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Mama could plow a field with one hand and chop a log just as well as a man. When it came to increasing disease resistance, that woman could lactate like nobody's business. Mama's nursing help raise a healthy family. There's nothing she wouldn't do. She helped us kids get through with less risk for ear infection and respiratory illnesses. When I think of Mama, brings a tear to my eye. She gave from her heart, her soul.
somewheres nearby. Call 800-994-WOMAN or visit 4woman.gov to learn more. Or talk to your health care provider. These babies were born to be breastfed exclusively for 6 months. This public service message brought to y'all by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station. Y'all breastfeed now, you hear?
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Crazy J.
Straight out of Linwood, Weird Al Yankovic here on the Rockin' Comedy Show. I'm Crazy J. You can email me. It's crazyj@comic.com. Again, that's crazyj@comic.com. You can find me on MySpace. Matt Kirshen is here. We're doing the news. We'll get back to that here in just one moment. I also want to remind you, coming up here very shortly, to be rocking us on the 44th floor. They're a group called Plan B. I think you're going to like that as well. We're definitely rocking this week on the Rockin' Comedy Show. Let's keep it going. We'll get back to the news here right after this.
Such a lonely day, and it's mine. The most loneliest day of my life. Such a lonely day should be banned. It's a day that I can't stand. The most loneliest day.
I want
a lonely day, and it's mine. Today that I'm glad I survived.
All right, this is the Rockin' Comedy Show. I'm Crazy Jay. We are doing the show like we do every week from the padded walls of my electric sandbox here on the 44th floor. And joining us in the studio, for those of you that, you know, forgot already, it's Matt Gershon.
Hello again.
Doing some comedy, doing the news. He's here in town, so I had to invite him in and say welcome. Welcome. So is it different? How different is it to, like, because you live part in London and part here, right? Not in Vegas, but I mean L.A.
Yeah, I'm split now, half and half between the two places.
And is the cultural life just really different? I know Vegas is probably, like, tripping
well,
out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, there's as much difference across America as that. That's the thing people in Europe don't always realize, how huge and how different. You know, when you go from East Coast to West Coast, and you got the Midwest, and you got the South, and the whole thing is the size of a continent. And you can't exactly say people in Seattle aren't exactly like people in Kentucky. You can't stamp them with one overall characteristic.
Vegas trip you out? Do you like Vegas?
I've been to Vegas a few times before, and it's tiring after a while. I don't know. You live here.
Yeah, and I still get tired, but I stay out till 4 o'clock in the morning sometimes.
Yeah.
Partying. And then you crap out early. And.
Well, you say that, but from where I was, it was 8 in the morning.
That's right.
On Greenwich Mean Time.
And I got to say, for those listening, guys, he gets some pretty nice-looking girls. The blonde that was with you, she's not bad.
Well, thank you.
You're like, well, thank you. Like, you thought I was going to say something bad or something.
Well,
you were waiting for
I like to travel with a harem.
Whatever works, right? Well, let's get back into the news. This is a great story. I think you should do this story.
Which one are we on?
This is the one that you were intrigued the most about.
Is this the St. Lucie country? Or yeah. County, rather?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Authorities said a man charged with exposure of sexual organs... It has a different name in every one of these articles. Here is exposure of sexual organs. We're showing a lot more than that on a stretch of US 1 Thursday morning. Which, the rest of the article, he wasn't showing a lot more than that. He was just showing that, but for longer than you might expect. Well, unless you're counting like he was also showing his head and his feet.
And his butt, because apparently he's naked.
Yeah, was that kind of a sexual organ? I don't know. Because, it's curiously phrased, that opening sentence alone. I can't really work it out. Like, he was showing his pancreas, too. Callers told 911 dispatchers that David John Campbell, 41, of Fort Pierce, was walking completely naked on northbound US 1 near Kitterman Road. A deputy caught up with Campbell at 6 a.m. on the 6400th block of US 1, as school buses were on the road.
See, another
again,
one.
As school buses of all things. Think of the children. They could have seen this. They could have seen a naked madman. Just anywhere else. Like, look. You go to somewhere like... India, you see like some naked crazy guy walking down the street. Hey, that's a naked crazy guy.
But we haven't
guy.
Got, we haven't
hey,
gotten to why...
Naked crazy guy.
But we haven't gotten to why he did it.
Well, I'm saving that one for a bit. Or just certain European beaches. You just, well, that's a naked guy. There's a naked guy just walking down the street.
Right. I just like that they pointed out that
if a child sees a naked person, that child will be scarred forever. How is that child meant to look at a body from now on and not imagine it? Not, it'll be imagining that body naked. That child could be imagining its own parents naked now. Think of the children.
Grow up. Here we go. Campbell, who is, if we remember back, is the naked guy in question, said he was under instructions from Jesus to take the nude stroll, the report said.
That's right. So therefore, he's forgiven.
Well, I quite like the fact that it is described as a stroll as well. He was sauntering. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't working... It wasn't that he was walking purposefully naked for Jesus. He was just having a little bit of an amble down the road, and he just... Here's the question, right?
Campbell said he was under instructions from Jesus to stroll naked down the US-1 as school buses were on the road. Whether or not that was part of the plan, who knows.
I think it's just bad timing.
Well, George Bush says he was under instruction from Jesus to invade Iraq, which resulted in the death of hundreds of thousands of people on both sides of the equation. And he's sane, and Campbell is arrested. I don't know, it's quite disgusting, really.
Right. Our next story, though, is definitely going to ruin a lot of family reunions this summer. And that is because Virginia is targeting adults who like to French kiss kids.
Oh, that is a shame.
State legislators passed a law that would require adults who French kiss a child younger than 13. Oh, so 13's all right. They are going to have to register as a sex offender.
Yeah, you French kiss a 14-year-old, that's cool. As long as they're on the same team as your son.
Those convicted of tongue-kissing a child would be guilty of a misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in jail and a $2,500 fine. The House of Delegates passed the legislation 96-1 and the Senate 39-0. The bill now heads to government Timothy McCain, who said he supports the legislation. Delegate Riley Ingram, R. Hopwell, introduced the bill on behalf of women whose 10-year-old daughters was French-kissed by the 62-year-old husband of her babysitter.
I should make it clear that you slightly misread that there.
Oh, did I?
It's a woman rather than women, plural.
Oh.
Whose 10-year-old daughter.
Okay,
The idea that this, I mean, it's quite a wrong story, but the idea that the 62-year-old husband of the babysitter is regularly
kissing women.
French-kissing 10-year-olds.
You're right. Thank you for catching that. Asshole. No, the only crime prosecutors could charge the man with was contributing to the delinquency of a minor, which did not require that he register as a sex offender. Ingram and other members of the House fought to make the crime a felony, but in the final day of the 2008 General Assembly session, gave in to senators who thought that classifying it as a felony was too harsh. It's too harsh to make out with a child.
It's a misdemeanor. Slap on the wrist.
I think the type of behavior is so erroneous it warrants a felony. Ingram said he was satisfied that a conviction would land someone on the sex offender registry. We finally got one!
That's going to really come back to haunt them, though, if they do. If one of them runs for higher office, you can't. You know that way they do that smear campaign? Any pass vote.
This man would have this man French kiss your 10-year-old
daughter.
He's kissing with tongue.
Oh, we only have two stories left, Matt. They're good ones.
Yep.
This one is about a Seattle man who hired an escort to, quote-unquote, have fun. Because there's really so many other reasons why you would call an escort person.
I hire escorts to play chess against. Yeah. I'm not good at chess, and I find that it gives me a fighting chance.
Anyway, he's hired an escort to have fun, told police that she stole $170 from him after she went to her car to fetch some condoms. The man, who is it? Why would you pay first? Like, you pay after. That's how you get screwed. You have to pay after it's done.
I wouldn't know these things, Jay.
Just from what I've heard.
Right.
The man, who is in his 50s and lives in Whitman Avenue North near Lake Union, had called the escort after spotting an advertisement in the February 21st edition of The Stranger. A police report filed that on Thursday.
They've really been quite specific with the description. This man, who is in his 50s and lives on Whitman Avenue North near Lake Union, like, oh, the 50-year-old guy from Lake Whitman.
Yeah. Hey, I think that's Bob down the street.
That could be him. He was shouting about being $170 down.
The woman arrived at his apartment late last month. He agreed to pay her $150 to have fun and $20 to cover her gas. At some point into the fun, the woman asked the man whether he had condoms, according to the report. Upon hearing that he did not, she said she'd go get some from her car. As the man waited for her to return, he looked out his window and realized the escort was driving away in a silver car. Since that night, he has called her numerous times to get his money back, but she has not answered or returned his calls.
Really?
That's so surprising.
Because she's probably just got a backlog of people that she's driven off on. She's just working her way through, and eventually she'll
get... she's going to call him all back.
I'm sorry, sir. It takes 7 to 10 working days to return.
The man even called the stranger to inform the newspaper of what happened. The police officer who took the report told the man it is against the law in Seattle and the state of Washington to pay someone for sex. But the man wanted to file a police report in case the woman was doing this to more of her customers.
I wonder whether... It says at some point into the fund, so I wonder how far into the fund they got. Because, you know, if they got, like, say, halfway into the fund, and I'm... Then, you know, she's probably only stole $75 plus the $20 for gas. But not even the $20 for gas, because she definitely did drive over and drive back. So that we can instantly strike off the claim. So bye-bye $20 for gas. So now we're down to the $150. Now she spent some time with him and had some fun. I just, you know, if we're accurately assessing this crime.
Right.
I think
she was paid adequately. He did have some fun.
He did have some fun.
Right.
I paid.
And that is what the start of the story did say. He hired the escort to have fun.
Yeah.
So halfway into the fun. Maybe he was almost finished. We don't know, like, how long he was going to last.
Yeah, I mean, can you put a price on fun?
Well, it's 40...
Can you quantify fun?
It's $49 if you go to Disneyland.
Right. That's for how much fun?
That's a lot of fun. That's an all day of fun.
Okay, so that is probably better value fun than this woman.
That's right. Well, I don't know. Maybe she was a really good woman.
Maybe she was a lot of fun.
He just got cut short. Condoms, you guys. Keep them by your bed all times. You never know when you're going to need them.
Yeah, who would get an escort over and just, well, I'm going to chance it that she's got the condoms.
Yeah. You have box and you didn't check. You're like...
You know what? Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he just was out of condoms and just thought, well, I'll get an escort over. She'll restock me.
It's Crazy Jay.
We were just having a little fun.
I thought it was toe tapping fun.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Damn, that was fun.
Fun.
All right, our final story. This one was nationwide, but it's just strange enough to wrap up our news today. It's about that woman who sat on a toilet seat for 2 years.
Yeah,
I haven't figured out why. I mean, is it voluntarily? Like, I'm just gonna sit here.
Well, it kind of
it says that deputies say a woman in western Kansas became stuck on her boyfriend's toilet.
She stayed there for long enough that her legs atrophied and the skin grew around and she became stuck to the toilet itself.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to know that you can actually, your body does have that adhesive nature.
But why?
I mean, we already know that certain parts of your body can be extremely sticky.
There's no report with this woman to say, why didn't you get your fat ass off the toilet seat and go back to work?
Well, what's most interesting about the story, because you do hear these sort of people who are doing this kind of thing, but are just stuck and, you know, haven't moved from a chair for 6 years or have been in the bed for all this time and bed sores and whatever. But what's most interesting is that they're considering whether or not to press charges against the guy.
Right. And I like the fact that they say James Ellis, the neighbor, I don't think anybody can make any sense out of it.
Yeah.
It's just such a bizarre story. She said that she didn't need any help, that she was okay and did not want to leave.
Such a thing as freedom of choice. I mean, it's not my choice. And, well, I think it's also quite nice that they'd reached that point in a relationship, you know, because a lot of people go a long time before they'd ever be willing to let their boyfriend see them on the toilet. And I don't know, where's he going to the toilet as well? Is he going in the sink? Do they have another toilet? Or does he just go kind of between
again,
her legs?
The story's kind of vague on the details.
It's
they should
have holes, the story.
They should have got what's his name to write the story, because we'd have answers, we'd have details.
We'd have a lot of the wrong statistics, I think, if we had Martin on the case.
Martin Espinosa, yeah.
I think if Martin was on the case, we'd know exactly the model and size of the toilet.
Yeah.
We'd know the color of the woman's hair and the name of the man who finally prized her off it.
But Matt, I want to say it was a great time having you here.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully you'll come back the next time you're in Vegas.
Yep.
We'll have to party some more when you're not so tired.
Absolutely. I'm getting there. I'm slowly creeping forward an hour at a time to a regular body clock.
But it's good. I'm going to pop into the Riviera and check out your show before you take off.
Please do.
Haven't seen you live, just on TV.
I'm all right. I have my moments.
Yeah. You were getting the laughs when I was walking up there last night, so.
Yeah, you caught the very end of it.
Which you say the second show wasn't very good, but.
The second show, yeah, it was like the first show last night was great, and then the second show was just an annoying disappointment afterwards. It was like having a great meal and then you screw up on your dessert choice.
Or having a really good meal and then your girlfriend throws it up.
Yeah, or you know, you just get coffee to top it off and it gets served in a mug with a saucer of cream on the side.
In an ashtray.
Yeah.
With no straw.
Oh, yeah, there were no straws either. That was the kicker. There were clearly straws in the picture. I was deprived of straws.
And then you told the guy it was your birthday.
I did. Not intentionally. It wasn't one of those, hey, let's all pretend it was my birthday. You just
said it randomly, and then we're leaving as he gives me a happy birthday.
Yeah, like, I felt dirty. I felt really, because he said it in a really kind of, like, loving way. I felt really creepy at that point. Cool. I felt like I'd been cheating on him with other
maybe
birthdays.
Maybe he just thought you were a young little boy.
Maybe. Maybe he just wanted to make my day special. Giving me boozy coffee.
Maybe if he thought you were 16, he was going to bring in some balloons or some happy birthday.
Yeah, or a hockey mum.
But it was great having you here, man.
Thank you.
Everybody, check him out on MySpace. Friend request him. Support him. Support his comedy.
And I got a Facebook fan group as well going on as well now, which you can search for.
He's growing.
So, yeah, I'm expanding in the social networking scene.
But no mattkirshen.com.
There is mattkirshen.com, but it goes straight to my MySpace page because I've been too lazy to make two websites.
Nice. Nice.
I own it, and I've done nothing with it.
That's nice. Well, you'll be rich. You can hire people to do it for you.
Nah, we'll see.
But Matt, again, thank you for being here. Guys, check him out. Lots of fun. And go to his MySpace page. You'll find out where he's performing at in town.
You will indeed.
I wasn't going to school because I was just making money stealing cars. And one day, I was put into juvie for 2 stolen cars, robbery of a house, and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, you know, nobody cared. I mean, I was on drugs, and my mom didn't really care because she was on drugs. She was never home.
When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out. And now that I'm 15, I have 2 babies.
I was heading nowhere. I just thought, the only way I can make something out of my life is that if I get an education. One day I was locked up. That's when I really realized that, I mean, it wasn't for me. Like, I was only in there 2 months, but to me that was enough. It'd be better for me to stay in school, just get my education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself. Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 years of helping kids.
With us today are Sally and her big sister Marcy.
Hi.
Hello. To share some stuff we've learned.
Kids and sugar, a combustible mix.
Hey, Marcy, let's go to the zoo.
Maybe the park.
We could fly a kite.
I want a hot dog.
No.
Ice cream.
Is that a horse?
I love horses.
Hey, let's dance.
Maybe that's enough chocolate.
And sing.
La la la. La 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 la.
It's also not uncommon for a kid to demonstrate special powers.
Did you know I can run through walls?
No.
Watch this.
Oh, Sally.
Don't worry. I also have amazing healing powers.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
That's all for now.
Mr. Crazy J.
You're crazy.
Are you crazy?
Are you crazy?
They're a crazy religious cult.
my wounds. Yes, she enjoys nothing more. I bleed confidence from deep within my guts now. I'm the king of this pity party with my jewel-encrusted queen. I wanna tear apart your room to see if what you say is true. Darling, don't you lie, lie to me. I wanna break into your heart to see why you want us apart. Oh, scared to death to find out what you think of me. Fierce and elegant, cold-hearted whore. She loves salting my wounds. Yes, she enjoys nothing more. I need confidence from deep within my guts now. I'm the king of this pity party with my jewel-encrusted crown. According to you, we don't click. That's a blatant lie, and you know.
Thank you very much. I got to tell you guys about this, man. I'll share something with you. I've been fighting a real battle lately. It's not easy. You know, I'm trying to start smoking. You think quitting is tough? Try to start. Yeah, maybe tomorrow. I want to start smoking because I'm trying to quit this nasty gummy bear habit I got. Did you see that guy from the Philip Morris Tobacco Company on TV? He actually looked right in the camera and said that smoking cigarettes was no more addictive than eating gummy bears. Whoever came up to you bumming a gummy bear? A dude don't know where his next meal coming from, but he coming up, hey, man, you got a gummy? Oh, bless your heart, man. Bless your heart. Oh, not the green, man. Come on. Come on. You know what? As much as I hate cigarette smoke, I like people who smoke. Because I watch people in the comedy clubs, the people who are smoking are just always like the more festive people. I don't know what it is. People who smoke are less inhibited. I don't know how long I'm living. I better enjoy this. That boy is funny. That dude is all right, man. Go on, Glenn Jack. Woo! People who don't smoke, I watch them sometimes when they go out. They're just so miserable to be out in the world where there are smokers, you know what I mean? When they're walking through the place and they're like, where is the non-smoking section? Is this our section? This is our section, right? Am I not? What is that? Oh, that's steam. Okay. Even when they get to the door, they're just walking in, you know, the guy smoking or non. None! Right this way, Your Highness. On the other hand, people who smoke, they ain't got that attitude when they go out. You know what I mean? They show up relaxed, happy. They get to the party, they already got confetti in their hair. Yeah, I'm still out from last night. What's up? You ask them, smoking or non? Smoking! Put me where nobody can stop me. Can you seat me on that line that'll divide us? Right? That's the best smoking they ever do. When they sit next to the non-smokers, they love that. They get, Hi. So then comedy clubs, what happened was comedy clubs have to stop dividing the room in half. Because they would always have a happy side and a sad side. So they started putting all the smokers in the back, you know? You get out there on the road, that's where it is. The smoking section is in the back. And I thought, dang. You know, I don't think we'll be able to oppress the smokers too much longer. I don't think they're going to take it. It'll happen with smokers, just like it happened with black people, too. You know what? The smokers are going to have their very own Rosa Parks. You know what I mean? This old lady gonna sit down in the non-smoking section with her cigarette and say, I ain't going nowhere. It'll make the news. It'll spark it off. I'm telling you. She'll be on CNN all the time, and all the smokers across the country will sit up and take notice and go, yeah! What the, yeah! And I'll go to Washington. Do the Million Smokers March. We are red-blooded taxpaying Americans like anybody else! And we got our rights! Come on! Hold up. Maybe we could just write some letters.
Clinton Jackson here on the Rockin' Comedy Show. Funny, funny stuff. It is the Rockin' Comedy Show. We have a website. Check it out 24/7 if you would like. We've got some archive shows, links to some of your favorite artists, and much, much more. It's Rockin', R-O-C-K-I-N-G, comedyshow.com. Also, visit me on MySpace. It's myspace.com/crazyj13. You can even email me if you would like. It's crazyj@comic.com. Again, that's crazyj@comic.com. We're just a few minutes away from having our next in-studio guest. They are going to rock us here on the 44th floor. Nice, nice group called Plan B is working their way up here. But, I mean, after all, it is 44 flights. So they'll be up here momentarily. Right now, though, this one's going out to Todd, who wanted to hear this one from Monty Python.
I'd like to have an argument, please.
Certainly, sir. Have you been here before?
No, I haven't. This is my first time.
I see. Well, do you want to have just one argument, or were you thinking of taking a course?
Well, what is the cost?
Well, it's £1 for a 5-minute argument, but only £8 for a course of 10.
Well, I think it would be best if I perhaps started off with just the one and then see how it goes.
Fine. Well, I'll see who's free at the moment. Mr. DeBakey's free, but he's a little bit conciliatory. Ah, yes. Try Mr. Barnard, room 12.
Thank you.
What? What do you want?
Well, I was told outside that...
Don't give me that, you snotty-faced heap of parrot droppings.
What?
Shut your festering gob, you tit. Your type really makes me puke, you vacuous, toffee-nosed, malodorous pervert.
Look, I came here for an argument. I'm not going to just...
Oh, I'm sorry, but this is abuse.
Oh, I see. Well, that explains...
Oh, yes. You want room 12A, just along the corridor.
Oh, thank you very much. Sorry.
Not at all.
Thank you.
Stupid git.
Come in. Is this the right room for an argument?
I told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When?
Just now.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Didn't.
I'm telling you, I did.
You did not.
Oh, I'm sorry, just one moment. Is this a 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
Oh, just the 5 minutes.
Ah, thank you. Anyway, I did.
You most certainly did not.
Look, let's get this thing clear. I quite definitely told you.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You didn't.
Did.
Well, look, this isn't an argument.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's just contradiction.
No, it isn't.
It is.
It is not.
Look, you just contradicted me.
I did not.
Oh, you did.
No, no, no.
You did just then.
Nonsense.
Oh, look, this is futile.
No, it isn't.
I came here for a good argument.
No, you didn't. No, you came here for an argument.
Well, an argument isn't just contradiction.
Can be?
No, it can't. An argument is a connected series of statements intended to establish a proposition.
It isn't.
Yes, it is. It's not just contradiction.
Look, if I argue with you, I must take up a contrary position.
Yes, but that's not just saying no, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. Argument is an intellectual process. Contradiction is just the automatic gainsaying of any statement the other person makes.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Not at all.
Now, look.
Good morning.
What?
That's it. Good morning.
I was just getting interested.
Sorry, 5 minutes is up.
That was never 5 minutes.
I'm afraid it was.
It wasn't.
I'm sorry, but I'm not allowed to argue anymore.
What?
If you want me to go on arguing, you'll have to pay for another 5 minutes.
Yes, but that was never 5 minutes just now. Oh, come on. Look, this is ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but I'm not allowed to argue unless you've paid.
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
Well?
Well, what?
That wasn't really 5 minutes just now.
I told you, I'm not allowed to argue unless you've paid.
I just paid.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Look, I don't want to argue about
that. Well, you didn't pay.
Aha. If I didn't pay, why are you arguing? I've got you.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. If you're arguing, I must have paid.
Not necessarily. I could be arguing in my spare time.
Oh, I've had enough of this.
No, you haven't.
Oh, shut up. I want to complain.
You want to complain? Look at these shoes on. I had them 3 weeks and the heels are worn right through.
No, I want to complain
if
about...
If you complain, nothing happens. You might as well not bother.
Oh.
And my back hurts and when it's a fine day and I'm sick and tired of this office.
Hello, I want to... Oh!
No, no, no. Hold your head like this. Then go, wow. Try it again.
Whoa!
Better, better, but wow, wow. Put your hand there.
No.
Now.
Wow!
Good, good, that's it.
Stop hitting me.
What?
Stop hitting me.
Stop hitting you?
Yes.
Why'd you come in here, then?
I wanted to complain.
Oh, no, that's next door. It's being hit on the head lessons in here.
All right, you're listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show. Joining us on the 44th floor today, they're called Plan B. Found them a couple weeks ago playing at the Ice House. Good show, guys. Welcome to the 44th floor.
Thank you.
You've encountered Charlie Manson.
Charlie Manson. He's licking everybody.
In the house. Yeah, Charlie Manson in the house.
Wagging his tail all over the place.
So now, how long have you guys been together as a group?
August 07. Yep.
And you're currently in the studio working on a new album?
Yeah, we've been working on it for
American Radio.
Yeah, almost 4 months now. We started at the beginning of December.
That's 4 months.
Yeah, it's been 4 months.
It'll be done next 2 weeks.
About 2 weeks now. Yeah.
Well, you guys are, you guys haven't been together that long. Have you all been in other bands?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Us, Tracy, myself, and Henry were in Submission for a couple of years.
Several years, yeah, together.
That's cool. Well, let's get a proper introduction since the audience doesn't know much about you. Why don't we go around and tell your names and what you do in the band?
Yo, what up? I'm Henry. I'm the shiznit. I'm the singer. Yes, that's right. Ladies, I'm coming after you.
I'm Nate, bass player. I'd like to give a shout out to my wife and boobs.
Tracy, drums and backup vocals.
Alex, and I play guitar.
Oh, yeah, Henry. This is Henry again. I love my wife, too.
Whore!
Who's probably not even listening, so it's fine. But what are you guys' influences when it comes to music? Who do you guys like the best?
Wow.
That's a good question.
Foo Fighters.
Yeah, Foo Fighters. Stone Temple Pilots, Queens of the Stone Age,
Nirvana,
Seven Dust.
I'd say the guitar player Daniel Johns from Silverchair was a big one for me.
I like the guitar player. I like the Andy McKee guy.
Yeah,
incredible. Badass.
Maybe you should get him to play guitar for you.
I should. We should get rid of Alex. I'd take him over you any day.
So where do you guys generally play at around town besides the Ice House?
We try not to play too many shows out here in Las Vegas. The local scene is just, you know, it's not worth that. We're trying to go more mainstream, get national.
World tour.
That's the goal of every musician, but we want to get out in the tri-state area and kind of steer away from getting stuck in the local bar scene, I guess you would call it.
So you guys have also brought your instruments here today, so hopefully you'll perform for us and knock out a few tunes.
Absolutely.
You also have some unmastered tracks, or they're mastered, right?
Unmastered
tracks. Yeah,
we'll play a couple pretty ditties for the kids.
No problem.
Tickle the ear pussies a little bit.
Yeah.
That's good. That's what we like.
But Alex, he always has a rebuttal for that, so hence the buttle part.
Sounds true fun, Stevie.
Nobody gets that.
Well, they will.
Once they get to know you guys, right?
Yeah.
Gang related.
It always is when it's Alex and his buttle.
That's gang bang related.
I don't know what it is, but being in a band for some reason...
don't say it.
I'm just saying, for some reason, I don't know, the interesting dialects kind of roll off. I don't know why.
What he's trying to tell you is that since he's been in the band, he's given more head than ever in his life.
Oh, given, not received?
Given,
not received.
Gotcha.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Alex.
I knew I'd have a bad feeling about this.
Well, why don't you guys want to play something from the CD, or do you want to do a little performance?
We'll do a performance for you.
All right.
Yeah.
Goes out to all you lost lovers. You know I miss you, girl. You're my whole world. Every single time, every single place, everywhere I go, I can see your face. Everything I do, it reminds me of you. Everything I see reminds me of you and me. And I just can't get you off my mind. Hurt so bad it should be a crime. 'Cause of you, I can barely get by. I can barely get by. Looking at you now, I can see your place. Where my heart remains, there's an empty space. And now your love for me is gone, and it's slowly moving on. There is nothing that I need except for you and me. And I just can't get you off my mind. Hurt so bad it should be a crime. 'Cause of you, I ain't barely get by.
what I need to do to be back with you. What I need is you, baby. Oh,
thank you.
They are called Plan B. That was them performing live for us today on the 44th floor. So what happened to Plan A? Didn't work out?
Everybody needs a Plan B.
Yeah. name
recognition, man. Name recognition.
That, and it kind of came from, you know, we were all doing other things, and whether it be work-related or musically, and we just all said, you know, Plan B. Except Henry, I think Henry mentioned.
Nate and I talked about it, actually, and
yeah.
We came up with it, and one of the big parts for me is that it's name recognition. It's, you know, how many times in your life have you heard the word Plan B?
Yeah.
You hear the band Plan B, and it's name recognition. You're going to be like, yeah, you know what? I think I've heard of them.
That's right. It's a copier and birth control.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Morning after pill.
Morning after pill. And after you take the pill, ladies, listen to a little Plan B. Will make you feel better.
That's right.
About killing your baby.
Wow.
We're all pro-choice.
Holy shit.
That
one out.
Yeah. Nice. And your email address is what?
Hank79@cox.net.
Because I'm sure I'll get some sort of angry.
Notice the Cox is in there.
Get some angry emails forwarded to Henry.
And forward all angry emails to Henry Harvey at Hank79cox.net. You know, Brad Pitt has a production company called Plan B as well. I don't know if you knew that.
Didn't really care, but thanks for pointing that out. Thanks for pointing that out.
Brad who?
Angelina's husband.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
So, what are your long-term goals? Are you guys going to go to Bangkok, or who's you guys talking about that?
That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Man. That would be great.
Yeah, we'd love to go to Bangkok and play. We love to play around the world, man, anywhere we can go. We want to spread our music around the world.
That's our whole goal. As soon as we get this done, we're really pushing for some management, find some good management to get us to the next level.
Have you guys just played in Vegas? You haven't played, like, other gigs like L.A., places like that?
Not yet.
No, we've kind of just, you know, we got together. We decided we want to write an album. And we played a couple shows here and there just for the experience of it, you know.
Get the name out, get our sound out there.
Just so when we do our CD release, we get the A&R reps, we do our showcase, you know, we have some fan base to, you know, that comes out and is like, okay, yeah, let's go see them. They're good.
We are going to have a CD release party on May 5th. That's confirmed, right?
Yeah. Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, at the Monte Carlo and Diablo Cantina. And we've invited some label reps there and our normal fans. It's going to be cool. Monday night.
Cool deal. Now, do you guys find it, as the local bands, that the music scene here is kind of difficult to get bookings and stuff?
Not bookings. No.
It's not hard to get the bookings, no.
Hard to get paid?
Yeah.
Hard to get paid.
Yeah, definitely. It's hard to get booked with decent bands too in our genre because we're so like diverse, I guess you want to call it. You know, we got a little acoustic thing, little heavy thing, and a lot of Vegas right now is really hardcore.
Yeah.
Well, and not only that, but the problem with the scene is that the venues don't want to pay the bands, and bands need to be able to make a little bit of money to further their careers to pay for the things that they need. And fortunately enough, our band Plan B, we all make enough money to pay for the things that need to be done ourselves. And because, I mean, if we were, you know, we're a little bit older, you know, I'm in my 20s, there's two of us in our 20s, one of us is in the 30s, the other guy, he's in his late 30s. So, you know, because of that, we have the financial ability to get what we need done. And other bands out here in Vegas that are young kids, you know, working at McDonald's or whatever you have, you
selling crap.
They can't afford it, and the venues, they don't pay well enough. I mean, they give you $100 to play a show, and you're bringing 300 people. That's, I mean, what kind of money is that? You know, you're making them $8,000. They don't want to pay you.
Yeah,
that started to change though. You know, a lot of these clubs that we're starting to play now are starting to pay. But you have to
for us, mm-hmm. I mean, now because we've gone out there for the last 6 months and proved ourselves, we bring a crowd, and we can get the money that we ask
nice
for.
Out.
But you know, when we first started, I mean, I think our first show we made $100. You know, and our first couple shows were like $100 top. And I mean, how are you gonna? That's 25. It was four of us. That's $25. That's gonna buy us a whole bunch of shirts to sell. You know.
Yeah, that's kind of discouraging, I think.
It really is. It really is. That if the venues would get behind the band, then we would have a better scene here in Vegas.
Hook a brother up.
That's my little take on that. Sorry.
It's all right.
A little long-winded, don't you think?
I get a little emotional about it, you know. Diane Sloan kicks my ass.
Mine too.
So why don't we hear something from the unmastered tape?
Let's do it.
All right.
What is the first song we're gonna play?
Let's do track five.
To the Rockin' Comedy Show. That's the music of Plan B here on the show. We're also going to get another live performance or so out of the guys. You said you had something funny to tell us.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. This morning, got up about 9:30 from Henry calling and screaming on the phone about something.
And it got to about 10, and I got a call at 10 o'clock from Tracy saying he'd forgotten to MapQuest your play, so I gave him directions. 10 minutes later, I got a call from Nate saying, hey, man, I forgot the MapQuest thing or left it at home. And then another 10 minutes later, I got a call from Henry saying, oh, I forgot the MapQuest thing and I left it at home. So I thought it was funny, consecutively, within a few minutes, got calls from the guy.
What he's really trying to say is that he's the melted down horse of the band.
Melted down horse?
Glue?
Nice.
Nice. Well, it is the tallest building in Vegas. I don't think you guys really needed to MapQuest it.
I did say right before he said he had something funny to say that it really wasn't going to be that funny. But you know what was funny was watching him pant up the stairs.
Yeah.
That was funny.
It's a good thing you didn't bring your whole drum kit today. That would have sucked.
Yeah.
Right.
No elevator. And.
Alex, we're used to not getting any help with our gear from...
Yeah, the singer.
I have no gear. I carry my gear in my throat. Alex carries a lot in his throat.
Yeah, I knew there was a joke coming in there somewhere, but
I left myself open for that one. Yeah. The opening.
Plan B is our guest. You guys are gonna do another performance for us. What is this one called?
What is this one called?
Oh, what was the first one we played?
Let's do every single time.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
cool.
Vad in the house. Everybody say Vad.
Vad.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wash a tank. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wash a tank. That song's for Uncle Ken. We'll play it for you. It's called Shadows. I wrote it for Uncle Ken. Step away from the shadows. Step away from the shadows. Walk
into the light. You're gonna do all I want?
Yeah. Oh. Hello, my friend. I know it's been a while. I'm looking away, yeah, and I really miss your smile, yeah. And that's all I want from you. And that's all. Passion glows in lonely souls, fills your mind, and who are you and I? Bless you, cause you all have seen the changes caused by time. Heaven's there for you and me, and you never left me. And that's all I want from you. And that's all I need from you. Passion flows in lonely souls, fills your mind, and who are you and I? Passion glows in lonely souls.
way. Bless you, cause you all have seen the changes caused by time. Heaven's there for you and me, and you never left me.
You are listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show. So when is the album? You said May 5th, or that's the
it's
the official date.
The
over at Diablo's. That's a cool place.
It is, yeah. We checked it out a couple months ago.
Well, we're actually playing at Diablo's. Has a thing called Cinco de Monto every 5th of every month. And we're actually playing Cinco de Monto on Cinco de Mayo. And it's industry night, so it's going to be a really fun night. You know, like, there's going to be a shitload of people that are going to come out and see us play.
You hope? No, I'm just kidding.
What's that?
I said you hope.
We don't have to hope, really, out in Vegas. We have to hope if we go somewhere else.
Right. Well, you have the help of that place being out on the strip, so
right.
People walking by are like, what's going on in there?
And that's the thing. It's like, it's the biggest, you know, it's the Diablo's Cantina, and the radio that they're putting into it's great. They're paying us great. So, I mean, even if 10 people come, we're still getting paid great, so...
So they're paying you great. That means, like, free appetizers and stuff?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, a couple beers. I think they said that they're going to give each one of us a beer. And I figured, you know...
That works.
As the way the rest of the place is paid, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm usually like that with Captain and Coke. You know, it's like...
Oh, hey. And don't miss all the dancing girls. They got all the, you know, they got the Diablo's Cantina, like, dancing girls. They got, like, 8 of them. They dance around in, like, little short shorts.
Really?
And
nice.
Barely no top. It's hot. And it's, you know, I mean, it's going to be beautiful weather. It's going on 9 o'clock. It's going to be a great day.
Yeah, good time.
We're going on at night?
Yeah. 9 o'clock, 9:30.
I mean, all the Vegas listeners to take Tuesday off.
Yeah.
Because it'll be a long night on Monday.
Well, and that's what I was saying, industry night. You know, everybody's got that night off. All the shows out in there. So, you know.
Yeah. They'll have no other choice. It's either Carrot Top or you guys.
That's
right. Exactly. Carrot Top.
Who wants to see Carrot Top, right?
How many props can he pull out of his basket? That's what I want to know.
12.
A baker's dozen.
He obviously, see Alex, he's so young, he doesn't even know really what Carrot Top's all about.
Right.
See, he's got so much crap.
I don't know shit either, I'm older than Henry.
let's not talk about crap, because I was wiping it off my earlier this morning from you, so.
Let's not even respond to that.
You're
still on the air.
Your next, Trey.
Whatever, bring it.
You guys only have a MySpace page, or do you have a website as well?
Working on the website. It should be at the same time as in the next few weeks, upcoming with the release. It'll be done as well.
Yeah, you'll be able to purchase the first song.
We're trying to like synchronize the actual CD release, which is on May 5th, with the actual opening of the website, to where you can actually go on there, and putting a counter on the website, so you'll actually be able to go to the page, and then it's going to count down to the minute that we go on stage, and it's all going to open up with the store and everything all at once.
That'll be cool. You guys should do Desert Fest in June.
Let's do it.
Right on.
You guys, I think you guys will like it. We got a lot of bands out there, comedians and stuff, but we play on a We put together a really nice professional stage. It's lights. You guys are playing outside under the stars. Huge bonfire. Oftentimes fireworks.
Where exactly is that at?
It's out in the Barstow Desert.
Barstow?
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Nice.
We've been doing it since 1994. The Rangers know who we are. They don't even bother us anymore. Doesn't cost anything. Everybody just goes out there, camps for like 2 days, rock climbs, drinks, you know, whatever.
Hell yeah, man.
That's pretty awesome. We got all kinds of bands, from country bands to punk bands to whatever.
We love to do that. Love it. Hell yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, so it's the first weekend in June, and we've been doing it since 94, and it's kind of like our own little Woodstock. We get like 300-400 people out there. Those are the diehards that know about it. And then, of course, with new bands come new people, and they're always coming back every year, bigger and bigger. We had 1,200 people out there 1 year, and that was when we said we weren't going to do it anymore, and everybody just came, and then we're like, what are we talking about? I'm not going to do it anymore. This is ridiculous. And we kept going, and so now we have more people coming out, more bands. And
that's awesome, man.
Very cool.
I brought a Vegas band out there 2 years ago, Zero Fingers. I don't know if you guys have heard of them.
Yeah, I know.
They sold all their CDs. They brought only like 30 CDs, and they sold them in like 12 minutes. I mean, it was like unreal. They made more money than anybody out there the whole time.
Well, we'll have 1,000 CDs come May 5th.
We'll have 1,000 everywhere we go.
Yeah, it's good. You guys will do good out there for sure. Awesome.
And we're gonna make Alex buy the first 5,000. So.
Because he loves our band
for
so
half
much.
The studio time.
No, Alex and I have.
Just because I love the band so much, I'll buy the first 5,000, right?
what were we talking about the other day? What were we calling copper status?
Copper status.
Solder status.
Solder.
Yeah. We're going to sell 100 albums. That's solder.
That's solder. Okay, that's solder. Over solder status.
We are nowhere near gold or silver.
Yeah. Platinum.
If we hit copper, we're lucky.
If we hit copper, we're lucky.
Yeah. We want to get to, what were we saying?
Tinfoil.
Uranium.
Tinfoil. Uranium.
Plastic. Yeah. Plastic's good.
There you go. Something like that.
The album sold. Plastic status.
I can see the mural now up on the wall with a piece of plastic in it.
Isn't like 500 wood something?
Wood.
Wood status.
There you go.
Wood status.
Oh, no, but you know, hopefully this album takes off. Pretty good music, so.
Yeah, it's good. I think you guys are going to do good. So why don't we do one more live one?
All right. Let's do it. Let's do Friend or Foe. Do it. Guys ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Now. Fuck it in the bucket and then make her suck it. Fuck her on a bucket.
Faces, will they fade away? Will they fade away? New acquaintances, now they're here today. Are you my friend? Oh, are you a fool? Tell me, please, as I do know. Parties from the past. And those good times never seem to last. There's somebody in this life to call my own. And maybe someday we will all change our tone. Are you my friend or foe? Tell me, yes, I do know. Are you my friend or foe? Tell me, yes, I do know.
It's always necessary.
They are called Plan B. They have been rocking out on the 44th floor today. I want to thank you guys for being here.
Thanks for having us, man.
Sell lots of CDs so he doesn't have to buy 5,000 himself.
Yeah. Well, we're making him, though. That's his initiation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He wants to stay in it. Listen, Andy McKee called me yesterday. If I
wasn't
the
talent,
spot open.
You know, I'd be worried.
You know, it'd be okay if you were the talent, but I'm the talent. So, I mean, we've already figured that out.
Nice.
We rotate talent. We're cool like that.
Yeah.
No, really, well, you know, I mean, I'm the talent. They try to rotate it, but...
We're just going to continue to do what we're doing. We're practicing. We've been out of the loop for the practice just for the last few months with all of the recording time, but... the new things that we're doing right now, just you guys can all agree, it's really evolving.
In accordance with the prophecy.
In accordance with the prophecy.
Our second album's almost written.
Listen,
buddy. Yeah. our second album's half written, and
everybody buy all couple thousand of CDs we have so we can afford to make you guys more music.
Absolutely.
On the second album. Yeah, our goal is to sell 2,000 CDs, and we'll go back in the studio and write the next one.
And we'll just continually create.
And we want to get some serious management and get on some tours, you know? We'd like to get on the Miller Lite tour.
Give them our MySpace so they can contact.
Yeah, go check out MySpace, LasVegasPlanB.com. You can check us out there. We're going to be posting some new songs on there. And, you know, any information you need about us is going to be on that page. Once again, that's MySpace, LasVegasPlanB.com.
Wait, no, you said that.
No.
Did I say it wrong?
MySpace.com.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows it's MySpace.com.
Yeah, it's Las Vegas Plan B.
This is the age of internet.
This is.
So. Doesn't work for some bands, evidently.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Some people just don't, they're not into the internet.
Well, man,
we can't sell anything. Well, maybe you should get a MySpace page. We don't like that internet.
Other priorities.
Yeah. They're like George Bush and the other priorities.
Exactly. Well, thank you guys for being here today. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys will sell a lot of albums. People go out and see them May 5th.
Yeah.
Diablo's Cantina.
Yeah,
Desert Fest for all my fest listeners out there.
Yeah. I just want to say one more thing to all the listeners today. You know, put your fists in the air for the revolution because it's all about American radio.
There you go.
Stupid.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello.
Hi.
Are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
I wasn't going to school because I was just making money stealing cars. And one day, I was put into juvie for 2 stolen cars, robbery of a house, and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, you know, nobody cared. I mean, I was on drugs, and my mom didn't really care because she was on drugs. She was never home.
When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out. And now that I'm 15, I have two babies.
I was heading nowhere. I just thought the only way I can make something out of my life is that if I get an education. One day I was locked up. That's when I really realized that, I mean, it wasn't for me. Like, I was only in there 2 months, but to me that was enough. It'd be better for me to stay in school, just get my education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself. Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Oh, hello, special lady. I think it's time for a little one-on-one conversation. Talking about my baby, baby. Not you, baby. Our baby, baby. A recent scientific study of lactation. Magical lady, gotta get down to business. Gonna turn the lights down real for a slideshow on childhood disease resistance. Wonderful woman, if you do breastfeed, a little baby will be at less risk for respiratory illnesses. Hey, I'm just talking about breastfeeding. Educate your sweet self at 800-994-WOMAN or 4woman.gov or talk to your healthcare provider. Babies were born to be breastfed exclusively for 6 months. This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station, baby.
Hey, this is Steve McGrew, and you're listening to The Crazy J Show, and I'm doing a crazy DJ voice.
You ever watch TV and wish you could actually slap people in the TV? Stupid people. Man, I watch the news. I want to slap stupid people all the time. That's the 15th time the river has washed away our home. We've lost everything again. What are y'all going to do? Well, we're going to rebuild. Why don't you just build a rudder on the back of that mobile home? Starting to rain. Get on top. We're fixing to move this thing. How many people have to die before everybody realizes God hates mobile homes? Every time you turn on news, mobile home park blown to shit, isn't it? I'd live in a teepee before I'd live in a mobile home. I've never turned on news. A man was killed today when his teepee was hit by a tornado just outside. Not one damn time. How do people do that? I wonder about stupid people. Like people who die in a hurricane. God damn it, how does that happen? Didn't you know it was coming? I did, and I don't even live in your fucking state. You might want to turn off wrestling, watch the news every once in a while. It's a hurricane. You just weren't out cutting the grass one day. Holy shit, is that a hurricane? I think they come on the TV. There's a hurricane way down here in the Gulf. In about 18 days, it'll be at your house. You might want to pack your shit and get out. No, we'll be all right. I put tape on our window. I wonder about stupid people. Like people suing the tobacco company because they caught cancer. I don't understand that. How can you sue the tobacco company for shit you know? It says it right on the side of the fucking box. It does? I just seen crooked letter, crooked letter. What are you going to do next? Sue Haagen-Dazs when your fat ass can't fit in your jeans? It's
Steve McGrew here on the Rockin' Comedy Show. Very funny guy. Visit him on MySpace. You can find him as one of my friends on my MySpace page. It's myspace.com/crazyj13. I want to thank Plan B for being here, rocking the 44th floor. Of course, I want to thank Matt Kirshen for being here. Very funny guy. Go check him out. Check out his website at mattkirshen.com, which will directly take you to his MySpace page. And he does have a nice listing of all the places he's going to be. Drop him a line. Become his friend. Tell him, hey, I heard you on the Rockin' Comedy Show. Very funny guy. Want to thank him for being here. We're going to keep it rocking, though. We got a little bit more time. I'm feeling good. Yeah, the medicine is good. The voices in my head are starting to hum a little bit. So that tells me it's time to rock out with some Uninvited.
On TV, I don't wanna be now worried about my lack of celebrity, and I'm never seen in a magazine. Oh no, baby, I'm not selling anything. Just like the air, not really there. Yeah, look around now, you won't find me anywhere. So how do you do? It's easy to see that you don't recognize me. So come shake the hand of the invisible man. My name is nobody. So I'm that guy that you walk right by, the one that you never look in the eye. And as you walk along with your mind all gone, yeah, that would be my foot that you're standing on. So how do? It's easy to see that you don't recognize me. So come shake the hand of the invisible man. My name is nobody. My name is nobody. Identity, anonymity, you see right through me. What's this I see? You look a lot like me, a certain familiarity. I can see it too. Well, I'm just like you, an actual identification. So how do you do? It's easy to see that you recognize me. So come shake the hand of every man. My name is everybody. My name is everybody. My name is everybody. My name is everybody. Bye.
with a capital P. But when you're lying here next to me, it feels good with a capital T. Good with a capital T. This is the part where you let go of my heart and you spare me from the budget.
Hello, Lobster, here on the Rockin' Comedy Show. I am your host, Crazy Jay. Keeping it rockin', making you laugh. It's the Rockin' Comedy Show.
From the road to the sea to the sky, and I do believe that we rely on when me when will I really see all that I need to look inside? Come to believe that I better not leave before I get my chance to ride. When it's killing me, what do I really need? All that I need to look inside. Hey, oh, listen what I say, oh, come back and hey. I know the more I like to let it go. Hey, oh, whoa, whoa. Deep beneath the cover of another perfect wonder, where it's so white as snow. Privately divided by a workflow undecided, and there's nowhere to go. Between
everything, or shut up and be a victim of authority. Born in, live without borders.
Rockin' Comedy Show. I am your host, Crazy Jay. Not quite sure the name of that song. It's called Warning. The name of the CD is called Warning. And I am Crazy Jay, warning you next week, right here on the Rockin' Comedy Show. He's back. It's Speech Impediment Man. He'll be here to do the news and to hang out with us. He hasn't been here since we moved into the new studio, so it's going to be interesting to see what he thinks. It is the Rockin' Comedy Show. Why don't you send me an email? It's crazyj@comic.com. Again, that's crazyj@comic.com. Ask me questions. Give me comments about the show. Make a request, like John did. Here's Stephen Lynch.
Because when Craig's inside, we'll party all damn night. I don't turn water into wine, but into cold Coors Light. I'm not my brother, I know, don't want gun H2O. But I got hydroponic shit that me and Judas grow. I'm fucking Craig. I'm fucking Craig. I'm fucking Craig. Craig Christ. Those dudes are deathly gay. Jesus performs miracles from Galilee to Rome. But it would be a miracle if they brought a fucking lady home. Because while Jesus is praying, fucking Craig is laying. Every lady in the testament, you know what I'm saying. I won't die for your sin like my famous kin. But if you got a little sister, then there's room at this inn. I'm fucking Craig. I'm fucking Craig. Our mother's face. question for you is not what would Jesus do, but where will you be when the Craig machine comes partying through? And if the Lord would allow, you've got to ask yourself how and who and why and when and where is your Messiah now? It's fucking Craig. Fucking Craig.
Sweet Craig machine. I figured, since I wrote a song about, you know, God and Jesus and all that, I would have to give the opposition equal time. Ever since first man has walked this earth, I have been here to whisper seeds of doubt. Evil thoughts into his ear. I am the beast, the outcast angel fallen from on high. I go by many names, but there is one you can't deny.
My name is Satan. Hi, everybody. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. My friends all call me Old Scratch, and I am a Capricorn. My turn-ons are romantic walks and killing the unborn. I've got little devil horns and a little goatee. Little devil eyes to help a little devil see. And little cloven hooves make it kind of hard to ski. I'm Satan. Woo-hoo! Mephistopheles for some, I don't know. My real name is Beelzebub, but you can call me Beels. I love to watch Fox News and then go club some baby seals. Then I'll take a bubble bath and drink a Zinfandel. Try to wash off that baby seal smell. And then I'll make a toast to me. Hey, here's to my health. My name is Satan. To carry on my evil ways, I went and had a son. Now he makes his living as a singing comedian. I'm in every Zeppelin album. I'm in all Rush Limbaugh's rants. I'm the reason that the Boston Red Sox even had a chance. And if I want to eat your soul, I'll just throw it on the griddle. Don't need to make a deal. I don't need to tell a riddle. And fuck Charlie Daniels. I don't care if you can fiddle. I'm Satan.
Devil went down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal.
It's fucking bullshit, because I would not be caught dead in Georgia.
Okay, it's like, oh my god!
Tick, tick, tick.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who worked night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mr. Crazy J.
You're crazy.
Are you crazy?
Are you crazy?
They're a crazy religious cult.
The world is crazy. And the world, I might add tonight, I truly believe this. The world is coming to an end very soon. I believe this. Ask me why. Because black people starting to do shit we don't normally do. We're starting to do things we never thought about doing. The crematory in Georgia. 300, 400 unburied, uncremated bodies. And they put it on TV, and here comes a brother from around the house. Mama, go to the television real quick. Brother, I understand. I know what happened. He got a little backed up. He want to cut down on expenses, you know. No need to heat up that whole incinerator, and we got that 55-gallon barbecue grill back here in the back. Black people starting to do shit we don't normally do. The black lady in Houston ran over a man, drove him home. He's in the garage for 3 days, and she would check on him every day. He's out there on the windshield. She said she thought it was raining men. Black people doing things we don't normally do. Jason Williams, New York Nets, playing in the house, shot his chauffeur. I don't believe he did it. Couldn't shoot straight when he was with the Nets. But we're doing things we don't normally do. Washington, D.C. I was in Washington, D.C. when all of that came down. I ran out of gas. I sat in my car for 3 days. I called AAA. He sat in the truck for 3 days. I wasn't getting out. He wasn't getting out. And the government, what do? They go to court 9-10 days trying to find out whether they should try John Lee Malvo as an adult. I say, if you can't buy your clothes in the children's department, you're an adult. say, if you're old enough to shoot, you're old enough to be shot. Mm-hmm. Some of my friends said to me, George Wallace, you're always talking about you want to be such a Christian. Christ wouldn't do nothing like that. Well, he don't live down here no more. A lot of things changed since he left. I'm a very sick person. Very sick person. I'm watching TV in my room. We got too many stupid television commercials, too. Don't it make you sick? KFC Colonel Sanders on TV trying to rap, trying to dance. He need to be trying to make that chicken better. That's what he need to be doing. Chicken doesn't taste like it used to, does it? Y'all remember when we were kids and kids, chicken used to taste real good. Somebody's not using all 11 spices. I can tell you that right now. Some of these commercials, Taco Bell had a sandwich called a chalupa. A chalupa. I'm going, what the hell is a chalupa? I'm thinking, it must be that chihuahua we don't see anymore.
George Wallace here on the Rockin' Comedy Show. He be thinking all the time. I am Crazy Jay. We're going to wrap up with a song I tried to play before the break, but something happened. It was going a little haywire on me. I want to thank you all for tuning in this week, giving us over 10,958 downloads this month so far. Thank you very much. Continue to tell your friends, family about it. We love listening, and of course, I'm doing more shows than I have in a very long time. It feels good to be here, be in the studio. Want to thank Plan B for being here. Come on, guys, if you enjoyed it, let them know. Go to their MySpace page. You can find them on mine. They're in my top friends. Just friend request them. Say, hey, I heard you on the Rockin' Comedy Show. Become their friend. They're very good guys. A lot of cool stuff they're going to be doing. So check them out. Go to MySpace. Find them there. Also want to thank Matt Kirshen for being here. Find him on MySpace as well and be on the lookout for more of him in the future. That's going to do it. Join me next week when Speech Impediment Man is in the house.
Because she She had an appetite that couldn't be beat. She came from space to eat.